It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 29th day of July, 2021, the penultimate broadcast day of 2021, at least here at the Horn. And headon.live is where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place in the time in which this... God, we're off and running. In which this program is live Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And if you wander by right now, you'll be met by early arrivers Jeremy in Vermont, Roger in Oregon, Squeaky, and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky. Yes, and a merry time is going to be had by all. Hi, I'm Robin, and every program here at the Horn, this program being no different, it begins with gratitude, yes, and by that I mean we send thanks out to our 29th day of the month subscribers, and that means thank you very kindly to Joseph, thank you so very much, and thanks as well to David for jumping in and getting us down under 900 bucks. We're down at 875 for a fundraising goal for the week, and to wrap up the month of July. And if we can, well, that means tomorrow will be 1175. It's an 1175 total to wipe out the week. So with Friday on the front porch coming, it looks like we're going to be trying to eke out a sure enough, no kidding, Horn Family Community Congregation, community made miracle. Thank you again. To Joseph, and thank you to David, and thanks to everybody who jumps in to make this little effort at independent, liberal, progressive conversation broadcasting possible, and makes it I thought I said July 2021. Thank you for the correction. Oops. No. Brother Deacon Asus, you said the penultimate broadcast day of 2021. No, it's the penultimate broadcast day of July 2021. I thought the July part, even if I didn't say it. So, yeah, that's where we are. But anyway, I wanted to, this is, of course, Thorn in the Side Thursday. And I've got some good news. This is exciting. We now have 4 attendees. 4 attendees for the Horn Inn. This sucker's is taking off and going. If we can get a few more, it's gonna be a huge bash. I'm convinced of it because there's just too much fun to be had. And well, as soon as, like I said, there's 50 spaces, so there's 46 spaces remaining. Thank you very kindly to, I'm so excited that you're excited for this humongous party. Thank you very kindly. Let's see here. Yeah, we've there's four folks going to be there, and they're all, and there's plenty, there's time, and we'll go up into the end of August, maybe mid September if there are still slots open, but you know, the more the merrier. But yes, you're absolutely right, Ralphs. We're still, Ralphs just put forward the, oh no, Robin is still deep in the well, Lassie, $25 challenge. Lassie, girl, quick, go get the sheriff. Or, well, yeah. Woof! Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you. That'll get us down to $825. And that's right around what I pay for my health insurance every month. So that's badly needed to rep. We need to finish the month, you know, fully funded. And right now we're not. But anyway, just a couple of things to get the program going. Note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. May I digress? Well, we'll have to see. I don't think this is going to be a digression. There was an article concerning how Vice President Harris is doing fact-finding on why so many folks are migrating from Central America to the U.S. I find it very frustrating that our elected officials seem to turn a blind eye to our responsibility in the problems in South and Central America. And directs me to an article at The Guardian, which I browsed shortly before airtime. There's been a lot of articles about the protests in Cuba, but for some reason, all of the articles and the blather from our Cuban-American elected officials about how the Cuban people want freedom and democracy, yet most of the people on the island have never lived in a democratic system. Do they believe that all the things they have would remain if capitalism took hold? None of the commentators even mentioned the 60-year embargo and Donald Trump's rolling back the amount of remittances to families. If you don't have money, you can't buy food. President Biden decided to levy additional sanctions, which will surely work after 60 years of a crippling embargo. The thing that I'm confused about is, if people don't believe the embargo isn't the cause of discontent, why continue to have it? Is it, as AOC says, the embargo is cruelty for cruelty's sake? If embargoes don't work, why does Israel maintain its cruel embargo of the West Bank and Gaza? The article below, also this one from The Nation, is an example of why I have no love for President Biden's foreign policy. The Democratic Party needs to forget about Florida. They won't flip the state to the win column. They need to expend the energy elsewhere. Well, maybe in terms of presidential politics, I'd say Val Demings has a decent shot against Marco Rubio simply because Marco Rubio is so utterly and completely loathable and loathsome. And, well, our Cuban policy is stupidity of foreign policy writ large. And what I thought Ron and Raleigh was going to go for is they're constantly barking and hooting and growling and grunting about freedom in Cuba, but seldom do we hear anything similar said about the vicious right-wing regimes in places like Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. Yeah, not so much, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, these are the immigration problem is a problem of our creation. But I don't know if we'll ever sort that out. Damn it. Meanwhile, throw the book at her. Jeffrey has some breaking news. The Capitol Police Force has been instructed to arrest anyone not wearing a mask. So for all you thorn in the side Moran mask calls who have not been on the road to dumbass us as of yet, for Christ's sakes, please get vaxxed and wear a mask when you're in close proximity to others. Okay, then. So if Lauren Boebert throws a tantrum and then throws her mask at another staffer in the throes of a tantrum, the Capitol Police can now throw the cuffs on her, throw her in jail, and then the judge can throw the book at her. Oh, look, it's Jeffrey Jr. Yes, I would love to see that memory-maiden miniature mind Moran behind bars. Well, chip off the old block, Jr. The other night, Robin was explaining the finer points of the fog and how we can potentially predict the winter season by the amount of fog we experience during the summer months. Now, I didn't say that was for everybody. It's just an Appalachia thing. A couple of days ago was the anniversary of one of the Wright brothers' famous duo flights from 1909, and also the 27th of July, 1949, was the maiden voyage of the de Havilland jet. Well, if we put fog and jet together, we really do not have a good flight plan. So on this day, back in 1945, a Mitchell B-25 bomber crashed into the 79th story of the Empire State Building, killing 14 people, with the freak accident being blamed on the, of course, fog. Speaking of Facebook, I see that the Cleveland Guardian's name is really catching on, because Darlene in Connecticut has changed her Facebook cover to none other than a Guardian similar to the one on the Cleveland Bridge. And this Guardian has a mask, too. Paul from Parts Unknown's message is really resonating. Thank you, Paul from Parts Unknown, for all your updates. I hope all those unknown children from Nassau County get vaccinated soon, or at least before they return to school. And speaking of Guardians, a minor league baseball team from a town near where Robin was raised, Madison, Alabama, has a minor league baseball team, and the team's name is taken from the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Rocket City Trash Pandas, based near Huntsville, Alabama, the home of the Rocket Museum, the Space Center, I think it is what it's called. Have a team in nearby Madison. The Trash Pandas are a single-A team for the Los Angeles Angels and were hit hard financially when the minor league season was canceled last year due to COVID. The entire 2020 minor league season was canceled last year. However, the Trash Pandas managed to financially stay afloat last season as the team with the raccoon mascot and logo of a raccoon in a trash can shaped like a rocket went viral and sold $2.5 million worth of merchandise. The Trash Pandas also used the stadium to host an outdoor summer camp, socially distanced movie nights, and turned their parking lot into a Christmas light show. So the Trash Pandas baseball team, based in Madison, Alabama, didn't have to trash the entire season, as they managed to salvage some of the 2020 baseball season with some alternative measures. In general, though, after not having a season, most minor league teams are in trouble. The teams are asking for some good old-fashioned socialism to save them from the brink of financial disaster. So Democratic Senator Blumenthal is teaming up with Senator Marsha Goodness Blackburn of Tennessee to try to come in for the save. The Democrats and Republicans are usually polar political opposites, but when it comes to baseball, they seem to have found common ground. Both have fond memories of taking their families to minor league games over the years. Blackburn said during a rare joint interview that the teams are an important part of many American cities. They are drivers for jobs, for tourism, and this is very much part of your local economic system in these communities. Oh, the little hairs just went up on the back of Giraffe's neck, and that's a lot of hairs.
Well, somebody should tell Marsha Badness Blackburn about what would really be a driver for jobs in our local, regional, and general economy, a fucking $10 trillion infrastructure bill.
And proceeds to commercialize the conversation.
Marsha Blackburn could do a television commercial with her standing at home plate at one of many minor league stadiums in Tennessee informing the people that,
"Hi, I'm Marsha Blackburn, and when I'm not in Washington, D.C. making plans for the next insurrection, you know, like giving a tour to radical rednecks of the whereabouts of Nancy Pelosi here at the Capitol or helping build a gallows to hang Mike Pence, I'm out here working to save our baseball teams. Who cares about the roads and bridges or whether half the population of Tennessee gets COVID? We are going to honest to goodness, save our baseball teams. This has been Marsha Lago Blackburn making sure Tennessee is the sickest low-wage working state in the country."
Truth. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 29th day of July, with Giraffery holding a ticket to the Akron Rubber Ducks baseball game for next Friday night. Oh, that's sweet. Are y'all taking Junior to his first baseball game?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for the challenge. That'll, alongside the $25 challenge from Ralph's, that's $35. That'll get us down to only 805 to go. $805 to finish or come current up to this point in time. Also, says David in South Carolina, Stan, real trash pandas do wear masks and wash their hands. Mm-hmm. In fact, the German word for raccoon, and raccoon is an indigenous American word from one of the languages that means bear that washes its hands, and the German word for a raccoon is Waschbär, which means bear that washes. How about that?
Yeah.
The Trash Pandas. Meanwhile, here in Charleston, we have the West Virginia Power, and there's some good baseball being played there.
Oh, yeah.
We had a bad experience at that ballpark many, many years ago. We, as a family, used to love to go to minor league ball games until the bright, shiny Saturday afternoon when
about three rows down from us, a batter, a right-handed batter, got all the way around early on a pitch and brought it all the way back out foul down the third base side, where it smashed into the face of a person just a few rows down from us, and her life turned into hell. Because the nets, you know, there were no nets to stop any foul balls that far down third baseline. Ooh, yeah. But minor league ball is a lot of fun. And it's more economically approachable by a long shot than the show. Masks, asks Matt in San Francisco. I just drove past AT&T Park where the Giants are playing the Dodgers. 80% of the crowd was not masked. Sure, it's outside, but a lot of them appeared to be on public transportation. I'm trying not to be too judgmental, but I'm starting to think we're never going to put this pandemic behind us. If we gay folk responding to the AIDS pandemic in the 80s, 90s, the way folks are responding to this one, we would have scheduled regular orgies all over public parks. Can we all just keep wearing the damn mask regardless of vaccination status until the science says we're in the clear? And again, that's from Matt in San Francisco. And I think that's the general attitude of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Because, well, if the mask holes and the COVIDiots want to kill themselves, and yeah. Well, that's on them. We, however, do have the power to try to protect ourselves and others. And I want us all to see the other side of this thing. God, I want that to be a case. I'm going to be snarky, Megan says. Why am I not surprised to learn that raccoons are cleaner than Republicans? Yeah, no kidding. And that's even factoring in fairly common occurrence of raccoons, you know, carrying rabies. And they're still cleaner than Republicans. Of course, maybe a raccoon gets rabies when a raccoon gets bitten by a Republican. They can be kind of bitey, you know. Oh, Jesus, silent R. Wow. So that gets us well and truly into the program. Another note coming from Steve in New York. Acknowledging responsibility. I was listening to a favorite show of mine in the UK called The James O'Brien Show. James posited a question in light of the testimony from the four officers before the select committee. Why is it that more people aren't paying attention to the 1-6 terrorist attacks select committee hearings? He posited that he thought it was too scary to watch, or that it was something people just couldn't watch. He counted himself among the latter group. Someone wrote in to opine that were that to happen to another country's legislature, we would have bombed that country. I don't agree with that, but I can see our hand-wringing in the U.S. if the same thing did happen somewhere else. Then a person wrote in and said this, maybe people don't care as much because they see the U.S. dripping in hypocrisy in its rhetoric of supporting democracy around the world and have a sense of schadenfreude. Steve says, I hate to say it, but that's my guess. Well, I do watch this stuff, and with every B-roll of the madness and the violence and the hatred in evidence that day from the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians, and the maggots, and the Republicans, I have a sense of foreboding that the experiment, such as it has been, is damn near over. Maybe the people that want who hope that this was a dress rehearsal for one that works. Maybe that's what they want us to think. But y'all, they're going to do it again. They absolutely are going to do it again. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. Lee in New York says, raccoons are Republicans. Can we replace the Republican Party with the Raccoon Lodge? Ralph Cramden for president. To the moon, Alice! that says something to does it say something that one of the most popular situation comedies in American history, and particularly in the 50s, was predicated on jokes about domestic violence? Yeah, how about that? Like I said, though, it is Friday on the front porch, and it is, or I mean, it is Thursday. Jesus, I'm trying to get ahead of myself. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. And so, well, Marjorie, well, Little Miss Three Names has become a perpetual thorn. And, you know, like, she's a thorn. If poison ivy or poison oak grew thorns, that's what she'd be. And so now, you know, from the department of, oh my God, she really did? Yes, she really did. She decided to run her mouth last week at the Talabama Federation of Republican Women's. Lord, don't you know that was a fun party to attend? And in her remarks, which are just now coming out, she told the Alabama Federation for Republican Women's, I mean, what a horror. She said, Joe Biden is going to be sending one of his police state friends to your door, see if you've been vaccinated. We all love our Second Amendment rights, and we don't like the federal government coming on our property to tell us what to do. You have HIPAA rights, and you do not have to tell your medical information, and you can tell them to get off your front porch and get off your front lawn. Mm-hmm. Second Amendment rights. See, they play footsie with their domestic terrorism, and they come right up to the edge of saying, just start shooting. And that's exactly what she did. The event with the Alabama Federation of Republican Women's took place at the Civic Center in Dothan, Alabama. It was sold out. Sold out. So I guess the check cleared. She said the House of Representatives, which she actually sought election to, she said, I cannot believe I work in that place. And I keep a list of the 11 Republicans who voted to strip me of my committee assignments. And I can't believe I work in that place. It's evil! Yeah. The House of Representatives is evil. She went on to blather about how we got to impeach Joe Biden and they got to expel Auntie Maxine from the Congress and how Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, has to be fired. And of course, because it was just an ingathering of maggots. Representatives Mo Brooks and Barry Moore were there. Mo Brooks, less brains. Barry Moore. I don't know if he's any kin to Roy Tolamore, but Barry Moore said, she's brilliant. She's so nice, but she's a fighter. She'll fight a circular saw in a phone booth for the good of this country. Them Democrats may have an AOC, but we have an MTG. Jesus Christ. You've got an MTG, and your MTG is an IDIOT. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. Put Ed Norton in charge of infrastructure, yes, in the Raccoon Lodge. Well, that'll work out nicely. Sure. Steve notes, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball. I'm thinking she's more of a sticker bush than a mere thorn. Oh yeah, she's multi-flora rose, without at least the slightly redeeming quality of the little tiny roses. No, I didn't see that. Tell me about that, Steve. God, yeah. Oh, and by the way, last night during the conversation that I had with Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Well, I talked about the fact that it's dangerous down there. McGubna down in South Carolina, Stan, says, don't nobody down there need no masks. You know, this thing could get going again. And remember that that's kind of how it worked out with the flu pandemic of 1919. Comes back around and makes the previous experience with it look like child's play. That could happen here too. And with the rate, with the way that people are dying and the fact that almost all of them are unvaccinated, you know, I'm beginning to think that it actually could impact the outcome of the 2022 and 2024 elections. The number crunchers, what would the numbers have to be like? And I'm not speculating from a standpoint of, gee, I hope it happens. No, this is just an academic exercise. What kind of numbers would you have to have in order to change the voting turnout by, say, 5%? Because the way that this thing kills in the general population has to be multiplied in the maggot population, simply because they're concentrating the lethality of the disease. Stephen New York says, Little Miss 3 name, MTG is BSC. Batshit crazy. Okay. That works. That's good. Highest coronavirus case totals since February. Yeah, it's doing it again. And, of course, this coming out of, we'll get to it in a second here. I've even got the right button ready to go.
COVID-19 cases today in our state. DHEC reporting
South Carolina
867 new infections. That is the highest one-day total since February. And at least four more people have died due to the virus. The percent positive is 15.4%. Looking back at this day, 1 month ago shows how the pandemic has taken a dramatic turn for the worse. On June 29th, DHEC reported 192 new cases. Today, as I just mentioned, that number is 1,867. Comparing just those two dates, 1 month apart, we have seen an 872% increase.
Is that chilling? That's terrifying. Yeah. You know, they're going to wind up. They're going to wind up in places like South Carolina and Alabama with death totals that are bigger than the last time they did something this stupid. You know, like 1861. And I think, honest to God, it comes from the same mindset. Just hillbilly cantankerousness. But speaking of South Carolina, let's check in with Representative Nancy Mace. Nancy, she's a member of the House of Representatives, and she's from South Carolina, Stan. You know, there where their cases are going through the roof, 879% increase in just 1 month. And Nancy Mace, she's unhappy with Nancy Pelosi. Freaking idiots. She don't want to wear no mask. Now, bear in mind, it was the physician of the Capitol who made the decision, not Nancy Pelosi. Freaking idiots. But this is a different
This is a different Nancy. This is Nancy Mays. Yes.
In the tunnels this morning, socially distant from anybody else. I had COVID. I've had two vaccinations. I'm washing my hands. I'm even wearing my mask inside the chamber, but I'm not going to wear it anywhere else. So, Madam Speaker, come and get me. In the tunnel.
Your offer is acceptable.
Madam Speaker, come and get me.
Well, one hopes that they will. South Carolinians, go figure. Why they sent this moron, I don't know. But of course, she got dragged on social media after she put that out. Oh my God, the ratio. But it's not just South Carolina, Stan. Oh, no. The thorns in the side are more than available from Kentucky, Stan, as well. Thomas Massie, that brave, bold member of the House from Kentucky, you remember him. He's the guy who told AOC she couldn't come down to talk to nobody in Kentucky. And AOC said, I'll go any damn where I want to. I'm a free American woman. You can't stop me. You're welcome to try. Well, Thomas Massie's angry, too, about the prospect of anybody being arrested. And so all of this has to do, and by the way, Joey mentioned this in his journal. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Manger sent out a letter and told officers of the Capitol Police Force that they have to enforce a mask order inside the halls of Congress for all legislators, staffers, and visitors. He did tell them not to arrest the actual members of Congress. In the letter, the chief said, although this applies to members of Congress, officers should not arrest any member for failure to wear a mask or comply with the mask mandate. Any member who fails to comply with the request to wear a mask should be reported to the House Sergeant at Arms office. Thomas Massie, whose brain is messy, said, this is insane! Might as well come into my office and arrest my entire staff. We are not wearing masks. I support the Capitol Hill Police, but the chief of police made a mistake here. The physician and the chief of police don't have this authority. And, of course, he's one of the assholes who sued Speaker Pelosi over the fines that have been levied against them because they refused to follow the, life-saving mask order that the House physician ordered up. Or recommended, I guess, is the better term. Well, I tell you, they're gonna engage in this last great act of defiance all the way into the grave. Meanwhile, from Silent R. Lamar, a COVID-19 question for the governor of Florida. Okay, changing lanes. Okay, governor of Florida, Ron Monkey up to Clantis. Give me one good reason to come to your state when I can stay home and get COVID-19 and save money on travel. Okay. that's one way of putting it. And doctors in Florida are not fond of Ron Monkey up DeClantis because he is, in fact, monkeying up his state's response to the pandemic. But, of course, he's been fucking that up all along. WLRN. Had the story of a group of more than 400 doctors in Florida who have banded together in the Committee to Protect Healthcare in Florida. We got to learn to come up with organizations that spell things because that's what really works with the American people. Bernard Ashby is a cardiologist, and she's the head of the Committee to Protect Healthcare in Florida, described herself as angry and ashamed of the way that Ron Monkey Up DeClantis has handled the pandemic. As a physician and a Floridian, I am frankly angry and ashamed. You know, the Florida man moniker unfortunately holds true in this particular circumstance. While hospitals in our state were filling up, DeSantis was shouting about freedom over Fauciism. F-A-U-C-I-S-M. No kidding. If DeSantis were as concerned about stopping COVID-19 spread as he was about coming up with these clever jabs about Dr. Fauci, we might not be in this position. And, well, this didn't go over being criticized by 400 doctors in Florida who actually know what the hell they're talking about, while Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, the white supremacist adjacent governor of Florida who only won with the help of real live, no kidding, Nazis, well, he sent out his spokes creep, someone by the name of Christina Pushaw. Christina Pushaw? Really? Pshaw. She made a statement to the News Service of Florida, and no, really, she said, the governor's made countless public appearances all over the state to encourage vaccination, and he's spoken positively of the vaccines in public remarks nearly 100 times this year. He's proud of the successful rollout in the seniors' first strategy, which means 85% of our most vulnerable population is vaccinated and thousands of lives saved. COVID cases, hospitalizations, and especially deaths are down significantly compared to this time last year. And on the rise. Christina Pushaw, the spokes creep for Ron Monkey Up DeClantis, said that the doctors, you know, the scientists who understand how the virus works, they're not well informed. I wish I was kidding. Thank you very kindly to Mark, Uncle Smokey. Thank you, Uncle Smokey. That means we have met $5 of the challenges that are on the table. So Mark's $5 just turned into $10. Thank you so much. Megan says, so I'm really wondering, you keep saying that 1-6 will happen again. As far as we know, the maggots are going on about 8-13. So are we to expect another maggot uprising on that date? Or is there another date we have to worry about? Also, anyone finding it really dangerous that the idea that Nancy Pelosi had any power over the Capitol Hill police that day has spread around, even though anyone with an ounce of brain cells knows this isn't the case? I sincerely hope that the next time this happens, and there will be a next time, these idiot morons are met with the riot police and the National Guard. I'm done coddling these freaks and their inability to deal with objective reality. I know, Megan, and when I say y'all, they're going to do it again. I don't mean they're going to wait for whatever the date in January is in 2024. I mean, they're going to do it again. 8-14? How about the day after he's not president again? And here's the funny thing. People like Mike Mr. Meth Pillow, there will be no consequences for him. He's already back. He's already backing away. I didn't say he was for sure going to be president. The Supreme Court, and it'd be... But they're just going to get madder and madder and madder. Because they're mad. Pure and simple. Megan said, don't kill me for this, but it's a meme. From Charles Schulz, someone has reworked a little speech balloon for Charlie Brown and Linus, sitting with their backs against an old oak tree and drinking a bottle of something. I presume, since they're children, it's a bottle of pop. Linus remarking, QAnon is basically Scientology for hillbillies. Oh my God, that may stick. Scientology for hillbillies. But it's not just places like South Carolina, Stan. No. Wisconsin, which once gave us the brilliant notion of the Wisconsin idea for having an informed and educated citizenry that was a shining star to the rest of the country, and who were turned away from that by, well, frankly, the Koch brothers' money, because as I said back when it was happening, why are the Koch brothers doing that in Wisconsin? Because making Alabama weirder is just not nearly as much fun as ruining a good progressive idea. Flavio lets us know Wisconsin reports nearly 900 new COVID cases in the past day, the seven-day average quickly climbing. The latest numbers updated Thursday show 899 new cases of COVID-19 confirmed on Wednesday, continuing a trend in the last week of quickly growing case numbers. A total of 795 cases were reported on Tuesday and 950 cases were reported on Monday. The surge has pushed the seven-day average for new cases up to 556. 1 month ago, the seven-day average of new cases was just 70 a day. The seven-day average hasn't been this high since May 8th, when the state was averaging 571 per day. Wherever you have maggots, you're going to have disease, because they are carriers and they are transmitters. Yeah, back to Florida for a minute. The doctors, a St. Petersburg immunologist by the name of Mona Mangat, said at the same time as DeSantis says the vaccines are effective, which they are, he's also banning businesses from requiring proof of vaccination. He's taken away private companies' ability to protect their employees and customers by requiring the safe and readily available vaccine. He's trying to have his shit and eat it too. Yeah. And President Biden is acting as much or to the extent that he is able to act. He said, "Look." All federal workers have to either be vaccinated or be tested regularly. If they don't want the vaccine, they're going to be tested regularly. They're going to have to social distance. There will be mask requirements and restrictions on most travel, because he can do that with the executive branch. And, you know, federal personnel, generally speaking. And it's the right thing to do. And maybe, the idea of having that little thing rammed up all the way into your brain, which is said to be not a pleasant experience on a regular and routine basis, maybe that'll be enough of a pain in the ass to make some of these COVID idiots say, hey, I'm just going to get the shot. I'll carry around something that's non-magnetic and just pry my neck off the refrigerator door every time I walk past. It's better than having that Q-tip stuffed up into my brain. The other thing, though, President Biden has suggested that cities and states pay people $100 to get the shot. Jesus Christ. I've told the story before about how my dear friend, not with us anymore, his mama would have to hide his broccoli or other vegetables behind a little dab of pudding on his spoon when he was a little one in his high chair, just to get him to get some vegetables in him. And this is that. Oh, we'll pay you. Yeah, maybe a hundred bucks ice cold cash will do the trick, but you know what? I feel pretty good about myself. I didn't have to be paid to protect myself, my family, and my community. I think that's called patriotism. Of the real variety, not the USA, 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 and the Lee Greenwood moaning into a microphone kind. No. But as we heard earlier from Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball, she wants people to take their Second Amendment remedies out on people going door to door to find out, or not to find out if you're vaccinated, just, hey, knocking on the door, hey, just wanted to let you know it's real easy to get the vaccine if you haven't. Not asking if you ever have it, but, you know, it's real easy. And they'll give you your vaccine for free right down there to the Wally World. Okay, bye. Well, Republicans hate that, but by God, they've got different feelings about going door to door for different other reasons. Pennsylvania, Bamistan. In other words, York County, Pennsylvania, maggots are going door to door, presumably not just in York County. These maggots are calling themselves an election integrity committee. And say they go banging on doors, demanding to know who people voted for. And even Julie Wheeler, who is a Republican and the president of the York County Commission, she said she's gotten a bunch of calls about this practice, this effort at intimidation, and she's referred it to law enforcement and wanted people to know that the Election Integrity Commission has no association whatever with county government there in York County. The maggot state senator Doug Mastriano, who is said to be a gubernatorial hopeful in 2022 in the Keystone State, he's trying to drive a forensic audit of the 2020 election, sort of like the circus that's taking place. Not sort of like, just like the circus, the fraud that's taking place under the aegis of the cyber ninjas, bunch of dweebs, in Arizona, Stan, yeah. And Chad Baker, the chair of the Democratic Party in York County, PA, said that this Election Integrity Committee are mainly going door to door to the houses of Democrats. There's an intimidation factor, and that's what their intent is. The timing of this doesn't seem suspect, given the recent request of the audit by Senator Mastriano. Sure it doesn't. I think he was being a bit sarcastic. Well, they haven't figured out, they haven't started doing that here, but God help them if they do. I'll refer them to, I don't know, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball and her Second Amendment remarks. I mean, at least here in West Virginia, it is generally deemed to be a good idea not to go onto some stranger's property carrying a gun. Especially not going to the door with one. But, well, that requires a certain amount of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Brames? Yeah. As to what Pelosi knew, Lee in New York says, Nancy Pelosi gets the same briefings as Mitch McConnell. If she knew it, he knew it. Moscow Mitch should have done something if he feared people he knows being at risk of getting killed. Just say it. And adds, Lee does, just wondering, are they having pole vaulting at the Olympics or did they need the sticks to conduct COVID tests? Okay, yeah. That's a... Yeah. And, you know, we had the story coming out of Missouri Stan the other day about ivermectin. And we also had a story coming out of Missouri about people putting on disguises to go and get their vaccine and begging doctors not to tell anybody that they got it because their neighbors would never forgive them. Well, it's the stupidity's just getting broader. Also out of Missouri, the same woman, Dr. Priscilla Fraze, from Ozarks Healthcare, also noted that not only are they showing up in disguise, they're also these poor, pathetic people. Oh my God. They're also going to get the vaccine. In secret. You know, raincoat, and, well, that goes with the disguise business, too. As far as what's going door-to-door, our buddy John in PA says, I'm smack dab in the middle of York County, and I wish a motherfucker would. I got a feeling John would not be nice to them. Well, just remember... No, I'm not going to say that. No. So what else? So much. Oh, Missouri. I mentioned Missouri. Our friend Kenda, who is smack dab in the middle of one of the most dangerous areas of Missouri, and all of Missouri is dangerous right now. Curiously enough, not because of Antifa or the Black Lives Matter, but because of the maggots who won't get a vaccine and who seem hell-bent on spreading the disease. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe they're still absolutely committed to this idea of naturally occurring herd immunity. Now, it's bullshit. It can't happen. It won't happen. The fact that we're having breakthroughs now with the Delta variant among vaccinated people says that not so much. But maybe that's part of it. The ivermectin story, though, is kind of back because an idiot in Springfield is doubling down. Angela Romine, R-O-M-I-N-E, Romine, is a member of the City Council of Springfield, Missouri. And at Monday night's council meeting, and then doubled down in an interview with the Springfield News Leader the following day, she said, doctors have been trying to prescribe two medications that have great reputations. The two medicines that she says doctors are trying to prescribe, two medications that have great reputations. She's talking about ivermectin, again, a drug that is used in the United States on livestock, particularly cattle, and occasionally, rarely used in countries in Africa for a disease that occurs in Africa. Romine told the city council Monday night, we're not prescribing a certain prescription because it's for off-label use, which could help people that are sick with COVID, and it's not being used because it was politicized and demonized. Right now we're trying even a vaccine that has severe side effects, but we're not willing to try a protocol that has helped people. One doctor even came out and said she's tested 900 patients and she's had zero deaths, yet we're not prescribing them here. Oh, my God. You know, the doctor with the 900 patients and zero deaths. She exists primarily in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of Angela Romine in the space that human beings, where human beings keep their brains. She's, of course, a maggot. And the Springfield News Leader said, hey, Angela, you want to sit down and have a little chit-chat about that? And, of course, being a practitioner of the Dunning-Kruger effect, she said, sure. And she confirmed to the Springfield News Leader that she was talking about ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which is useless, even dangerous. Yeah, because among other things, one study in June conducted by the pharmaceutical outfit Gilead said the rates and likelihood of COVID-19 recovery were lower in patients who received concomitant hydroxychloroquine compared with patients who did not receive hydroxychloroquine. But none of that even slowed down Angela Romine, and of course she then got up on the cross and said, well, the health department's making people think I'm killing people. Yeah. And then she said, no vaccine's ever had as many negative side effects as this one. Which is just an outright lie. Mm-hmm. And the director of the Springfield Green County Health Department, Katie Towns, told her flat out, we need to overcome the misinformation that this is unsafe, an unsafe vaccine, because it is not. It is safe. She had just been sworn in as the county health director. She added, unfortunately, our community is still in crisis. We are grieving for the 27 people who passed away this weekend while hospitalized with COVID-19 in Greene County. And Greene County alone in Missouri, they had an average of 219 new coronavirus cases in the last week. 254 patients are hospitalized for COVID-19 in Greene County, Missouri. Of those 254 patients, 101 of them are in critical care. She said, last Tuesday, hospitalizations in Greene County reached the highest levels we have ever seen. By Friday, we broke that record two more times. And even that didn't slow down Angela Thorn-in-the-Side Romine. I'm just going to give you a little bit of insight of why people are hesitant and why people are fighting against what you're trying to accomplish. Knowing the side effects that I've seen out there, you know, I've just, to me, it's not worth that. She, Angela Romine, has documented the side effects. Of course, she's, you know, I'm sure she's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual maggot, which means, of course, that she is lying. And she thinks there's inconsistencies in the science. I would love to know what her major was in college, if in fact she had a major in college. Marketing. Business. And that, you know. But, you know, she's consulted Dr. Google, so she's a freaking expert. And now she's upset because people are fine. You know, she's spoken out loud. People have heard her words. And they realize she's an idiot. And she says, people tell me I'm being disrespectful, and I'm killing people, and I'm being selfish. So with the information you give, like most of the hospitalizations are unvaccinated people, and people need to hurry up and get vaccinated, which I understand that is your position because that is your job. No, it's not her position because it's her job, you freaking idiot. It's her position because that is the scientific consensus. But it makes people think that I'm killing people. It makes people think that I'm being selfish. It makes people think that I'm being disrespectful, that I don't care. She doesn't. Okay, let me rephrase that. She cares, but she doesn't care about people getting COVID. She cares about being perceived as ideologically pure among the maggot set. I mean, I support everybody 100% that's wearing a mask here. But masking needs to be a choice. Yeah. And no matter how many times somebody like Health Director Towns tries to correct the record, when you're talking to maggots, you're on a mission with no percentage possibility of success. Nonetheless, she tried. She said, "We definitely at the health department do not believe that anybody is the bad guy in this situation, unless if people are misinforming purposely." I hear at the basic level your comments are that there are lots of questions, and I'm 100% certain that you are correct that many people have a lot of questions, and that's okay. Well, it's really not, Director Towns. If the questions they have are, for instance, hey, will this here vaccine make me grow antlers? Or hey, will this vaccine, is it so magnetematized that I'm going to get stuck to the refrigerator box every time I walk by it? No, those questions are not 100% okay. They need to be swatted. They need to be swatted like flies flying off a pile of dog shit in the yard, because they are. And, you know, when she sat down to be interviewed by the Springfield News leader, Angela Romine, member of the county commission, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, maggot Republican, said, well, I don't think that's any concern, but no, I have not been vaccinated. I've had COVID, and I actually didn't get sick. I didn't need to be hospitalized. I didn't even have a cough. And all I'm doing is asking questions. Which, of course, goes back to the whole teach the controversy theory that sprung up around, for instance, the theory of evolution in, you know, maggot states.
I'm just representing my community. I was in the minority in that room, and I know that that was difficult for me to say the things I was saying because I know that I'm in the minority. But if 60% of Missouri is not vaccinated and close to 60% of Springfield is not vaccinated, then I'm in the majority of people, and this is their majority view. Yeah, sure. The majority view.
The majority. So if she was, if 60% of the people in the room were illiterate and thought that being illiterate was the best thing, then, well, I'm just representing the majority view that reading is a sin from the devil.
Yeah.
And one of the healthcare providers there, I guess, is Cox Health, and their CEO, a guy named Steve Edwards. She went after him on Monday, too. Edwards has come out and said some horrible things about people that have been unvaccinated to the point that we're uneducated, that it's hard to treat people that have COVID because they're not vaccinated. So basically he's saying they did this to themselves. Well, he didn't say that, but you know what? I will. If you don't take all your precautions, if you don't use all your frontline defenses, and if you don't get vaccinated and you get COVID and die, you are doing so of your own accord. And I guess that's just freedom. On the other hand, if you're walking around spewing viral particles and you kill somebody else, well, yeah. So, Jesus. Steve in New York says, magnetematized. After I got my vaccine, none of my debit cards worked. They all done got unmagnetematized. I hate it when that happens. That's why you have to get one of them special little wallets. So let me get this straight, Megan says. Angela thinks that a malaria medication that causes severe hallucinations and a medicine for cattle is better than the vaccine. It reminds me of the visit Lewis Black made on Noah Trevor's program, joking that he carries around vodka in a hand sanitizer bottle so he can drink it in public. Only for the Angelas of the world, the bottle really does have hand sanitizer. Hell, for the Angelas in the world, Megan, by the way, it's got bleach in it. Is she on a mission from God? Ralphs asks, and the answer is yes. Or think she is. She heard some voice in her head and thought it was God. Right. Majority views. Steve in New York. The earth is flat. The sun revolves around the earth. Funny. Even though they were majority views, they were never correct. I know. And a separate topic, a little note coming in from Frank out in Iowegia. We here in Iowa are presently under an air quality alert because of the smoke from the western states burning. I guess that's because of the global warming hoax.
It's a Chinese hoax meant to defeat our manufacturing capacity.
Yeah, that's some choking hoax there. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I got to tell you, even though you can hear the air conditioner running, it's having a hard time keeping up. It's right close here in the studios, the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion this evening. And, you know, there's not that much summer left. We're half done with it. Where's it gone? But in the summer that remains, on a hot, hot day like this, there's nothing quite like naked radio. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Nothing like it. And so there's $30 remaining in challenges on the table. Your chance to double your money. Courtesy of Joey and Giraffe and courtesy of Ralphs. And that would get us down to $805 to go to come up even with this far in the week. $30 can be doubled if there's somebody out there that wants their $30 doubled or some portion thereof. Joey and Giraffe and Ralphs are eager to do that. And we'll, I don't know, it'd be kind of cool if like 6 minutes from now those challenges were met. And I'm very disappointed in you. Oh, no, Steve, why? Global warming is not a Chinese hoax. It's from Jewish blue space lasers. Get your facts right. They've been zapping the... Just ask Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cue Ball, right? I mentioned 6 minutes because, well, we've got the Green News Report this fine Thursday afternoon. And let's check in with Brad and Desi, see what's going on. And hey, a reminder, this is, after all, Conversation Radio, and if you'd like to participate in it, it's easy to do. The stress line is 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN, 844-THE-HORN, and it'll get you right into the program. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype as well, and 304-574-8178 gets you into the program, too. That's the stress line, or Skype line as well. But anyway, Brad and Desi.
It's Thursday, July 29, 2021.
President Biden welcomes the agreement as one that would show the United States can do big things.
$1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill inches forward in divided Senate.
Dead fish everywhere.
Florida Gulf Coast hit with massive red tide. Plus,
we must do better.
Oregon moves ahead with historic clean energy legislation.
All of that history in the making and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
The Department of Energy has a sensor array computer analysis capability that can detect in real time the lightning strikes that might set off a blaze.
We have lightning sensor rays? That's awesome. Do we by any chance have anything that can stop climate change? Because I switched to paper straws a year ago and I don't think they're working.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, big news I know for you when it comes to infrastructure, which you've been talking about for many, many years. Maybe it'll now actually happen.
Maybe.
Maybe.
A bipartisan infrastructure deal passed a key procedural hurdle to begin debate in the U.S. Senate. The nearly $1 trillion plan includes $550 billion in new spending over 10 years to improve the nation's aging infrastructure, including significant spending to repair water systems, modernize the electric grid, and build out the first ever national electric vehicle charging network. If the bill ultimately passes, and that is a very big if, it would be one of the most significant long-term investments in nearly a century. On the Senate floor on Wednesday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed to pass both this bill and President Biden's much broader $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation package.
Yeah, the one with all the climate change stuff in it.
I have laid out a two-track strategy on infrastructure, a bipartisan bill focused on traditional brick-and-mortar infrastructure projects, and a budget reconciliation bill, where Democrats plan to make historic investments in American jobs, American families, and efforts to fight climate change.
Politico reports that former President Donald Trump is trying to sabotage the bipartisan deal because Republicans never gave him an infrastructure package.
Because he never actually tried.
Meanwhile, 17 states are under some kind of heat watch or warning, with 30 million Americans likely to see triple-digit temperatures due to the fifth heat dome in just 6 weeks to stall over the country. Some towns in Montana and Wyoming have seen more days above 100 degrees Fahrenheit so far this year than Dallas, Texas. Mm. A new study from Climate Central confirms that since 1970, more than 90% of U.S. cities have seen a big increase in the number of days above 77 degrees Fahrenheit. The researchers remind dog owners that temperatures above 77 degrees also mean pavement surfaces in direct sunlight can get as hot as 125 degrees, creating painful and even dangerous conditions for dogs' paws. They also warn that dogs can experience heat-related illnesses just like people. The observed increase in extreme weather events like heat waves is also reducing the reliability of nuclear power plants. A comprehensive new global analysis of the world's nuclear fleet calculates that extreme weather outages at nuclear plants are occurring nearly 8 times more frequently now than in the 1990s, due in part to heat and drought that limit the availability of cold enough water to cool the reactors.
Yeah, the heat warms the rivers, the lakes, whatever they're using, and that water is not cool enough to keep the nuclear power plant cool.
Kind of a problem.
Yeah.
The study also found that hurricanes and typhoons are now a leading cause of nuclear plant outages.
That's chilling.
Florida is grappling with a massive toxic algae bloom that has littered Tampa Bay and about 100 miles of the state's Gulf Coast with dead fish and other marine animals. Red tides naturally occur off the coast of Florida, but scientists say they're now getting bigger, more frequent, and much worse because of pollution and warming ocean temperatures due to man-made climate change.
And don't they normally come later in the year than this one is coming now?
Yes, they do. Finally, some good news. Oregon's Democratic Governor Kate Brown signed into law one of the nation's most ambitious renewable energy plans. Among a number of strong provisions, it tightens the timetable for the state's two major power companies to reach emissions-free electricity and bans the construction and expansion of fossil fuel power plants. It also allocates $50 million in grants for community-based clean energy projects. Governor Kate Brown emphasized environmental justice in a signing ceremony on Tuesday.
The impacts of climate change are not felt equally. In every crisis and every natural disaster, those who already face disparities due to discrimination and racism are hit the hardest. We must do better.
Good. Glad to see action happening at the state level while D.C. dithers. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We can make it better if we work together.
And so we are well and truly into the second hour of the program for this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And listen, this is just a tech moment. I need to just check something here. It's playing. I'm getting a number of notes because, remember, we've got all these problems with Podbean because they're such pernicious assholes. My bill went through for my unlimited uploads just a couple of days ago, and I still can't upload there because they say I've uploaded too much this month. I've only been with them for like 5 years, doing the same amount of uploading each and every night and each and every week and each and every month and each and every year. So I guess they changed things and didn't bother to tell anybody. But nonetheless, I'm getting notes from people saying they can't even get the program at White Rose Society. And this is strange to me, because if you go to whiteRoseSociety.org/Kincaid with a capital K, .html, the show listing is there. And I just opened the program for yesterday, the 28th of July, and at least on my machine, it begins playing. Now, is there a problem with the XML feed? I don't know. That's a possibility. But if you go there, you can get it. And so I'm answering an email right now. But Barbara, I'm sorry you're having trouble. Would one of y'all, just check? And this is just that I can only see what I can see. But could I get a couple of members of the Horn Ad Hoc Research Committee and Tech Department to just go to whiterosesociety.org and click on the show page and see if you can make the files play. Well, thank you. Thank you very kindly. Jeremy in Vermont says, the program played fine in my iPhone's browser last night as well. I had to listen to the start for Paul's update because I was late. Okay, that's reassuring. White Rose Works, says Dave number 11. Is anybody podcasting it? Because I'm hearing, you know, it's not showing up on Apple Podcasts. It's not, you know, I can't get it at White Rose. And it just bedevils me. So, I mean, I'm in touch with Ben, and he's working on several things related to the listing. But this is one I didn't expect to be a problem, and here we are. Oh well. So thanks if you'd let me know if it's downloading anywhere via XML, because there's a lot of people that say it's just disappeared. And I can't imagine we'd be deplatformed by you know, Apple Podcasts or what. Why? We're certainly not doing any of the shit the maggots do. So, well, let me know, please, and thank you. Going back to Little Miss Three Names, Brother Deacon Asa says, call her what you will. She knows how to put their dumbass cabooses in the seats and get them to pony up for the privilege of listening to her babble. Billable Rick says, I played the part of the 728-21 show that I missed on White Rose Society earlier this afternoon. Don't be bedeviled. It's Lucy Purr's fault. Ha! Thank you for that, Billable. Would you check what you just sent to me? Because Jeremy says, not a lie, I had to listen over at White Rose because it did show up in iTunes last night, or did you mean to say it didn't? Let me know, Jeremy. Can they find it in a browser search, Lee asks. I don't know, but I've had a handful of people saying, oh, I can't find it anywhere. It's the damnedest thing. White Rose, Roger says, is starting to play right now on last night's program. I mean, I'm looking at it. I see the listing. So let me know what you find out, especially if there's anybody subscribed to the XML feed and it's not feeding. I need to let Ben. Okay, so it didn't show up last night in iTunes. Okay, thank you. And Randy Radar told me the same thing. And it's just weird because, you know, the XML feed link is right there. This XML file does not appear to have any style information associated with it. The document tree is shown below. I'm just going to go down to the bottom of this thing. Well, there's the XML feed for yesterday's program. I got nothing. This is Apple says whiterosesociety.org/contade doesn't exist, and whiterosesociety.org doesn't exist either. On the other hand, the White Rose Society link to last night does play. Oh, this is going to be some real hair pulling. Sorry to interrupt the program with all this tech misery, but oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Well, it's like Malloy says, if it ain't lice, it's bedbugs. And there we are. Yeah. I'll get hold of Ben and let him know the rest of these problems. But no, we have not met the $30 worth of challenges yet, and that's a little bit dismaying. But since it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, I've had this one. I kind of waited for it. You may be familiar with what happened in a Montana fishing store it was last week when a guy confronted Cucky Tucky Carlson and told him exactly what he is. The worst person, worst human being on earth, I think. And so this Thorn in the Side Thursday nomination is for the millionaire Don Lemon. Over at that fishing shop in Montana, a guy noticed Cucky Tucky and went up and told him what a rotten piece of shit he, Tucker Carlson, is. Without saying that, he was much more gentle than we are here. The Lincoln Project tweeted the video.
I don't care, man. Just
dude, you are the worst human being I've known to me. I want you to remember going to this state, to the United States, to everything else in this world. I don't care that you're not here. What you've done to people's families, what you have done to everybody else in this world.
Yeah, and then Cucky Tucky tried to hide behind his kid. My son's here. Oh, well, how many people has he sicked his disgusting audience on? But no, this nomination is for Don Lemon of CNN, the millionaire. And Don Lemon said, "I never thought I'd be in the position to maybe somehow have to defend Tucker Carlson." And said, "Let me tell you this, I don't like it. I don't like it when people do that because I would not want it to happen to me. But I have mixed emotions because Tucker has done this to people before." Right! Ding! He is sowing what he reaped. And all he did was get told off. Nobody took a swing at him. Nobody, you know, per Marjorie Taylor Greene, did anything relative to their Second Amendment remedies. The guy just told him, "You're a horrible human being. The most horrible human being in this state or any other state or the entire United States or the entire world. You're horrible." And you know why he told him that? Because he is. He is sowing as he reaped. But you know what, Don Lemon? He would never extend the same courtesy to you. No. And Cucky Tucky has even assaulted, you know, or attacked on air Don Lemon. And I understand. See, this is what happens when you buy into that bilious Christianity that says you got to forgive somebody 70 times 7 and turn the other cheek till you got no cheeks to turn. And be all lammy and fruit. No. Forgiveness is predicated upon repentance. You got to be sorry for somebody to need to forgive you. "My daughter's here." I'm sorry, what is it? "My daughter's here," Cucky Tucky said to Dan Bailey, the man who told him off. And didn't even use any dirty words. No. And Don Lemon went on and said, "I think what Tucker says much of the time is completely reprehensible and divorced from reality. But he has a right to be in a space and not be accosted and not be ambushed by anyone. Ambushing Tucker Carlson while he's in the store with his family is totally inexcusable. No public figure should be accosted regardless of their political persuasion or beliefs simply due to the intolerance of another point of view." Don Lemon, Tucky Cucky, would march you to the fucking ovens himself. He would gladly hold your hand all the way up onto the goddamn scaffold, put the noose around your neck, and pull the lever and drop the trap. This is how you wind up with Tucky Cuckies, Cucky Tuckies. Because of tolerance. He can't be tolerated. Not in the way he talks now, not in the exhortations to violence and disease and terrorism and bioterrorism yet. No. He can't. If he wants to repent and you know, do right-wing politics, sure. But this is white nationalism. This is support for domestic terrorism. That's what Cucky Tucky is doing now. He's America's leading white supremacist, and he has a platform that has millions of viewers, and so he spreads his poison on a daily basis. Jesus, Don Lemon. At least there were some people pushing back. And I guess this was, you know, this is just side, this is new cable news as entertainment. He had to be pushed back against by Anna Navarro, a freaking Republican, a never-Trump Republican, but a Republican just the same. God. Nauseating. Oh, well. Jesus. Oh, thank you. Thank you to Jeremy. Jeremy finished off Joey and Giraffe's challenge and got started on Ralph's. The Robin's back in the hole again. Lassie, go get the sheriff challenge. There's $20 remaining on that, and if that's met, that'll get us down to $805, which means that we'll be at 11:05 tomorrow if that's where it continues to stand. Oh, speaking of CNN, Jesus Christ. Remember the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs doctor from Texas? She was touted by Nitwit Nero for her theory that demons have sex with women during their sleep, and doctors treating their patients with alien DNA. Well, Anderson Cooper was talking about her, and he said to her, he referred to her as a snake oil salesman because she was pitching hydroxychloroquine, you know, just like Angela Romine there in Springfield, Missouri. God. Well, she's suing. She's suing CNN. Filed a federal lawsuit against CNN in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Texas, and says that Anderson Cooper defamed her, and that Dr. Emanuel never made the statements that were attributed to her, and that the statements about demons and aliens were just fabricated. There's only one problem. If anybody fabricated it, well,
they just call the name, they're like, women from there, they're prostitutes, they do this, they sleep around there. You understand? So why? Because they are married to the idol in the village. If you don't deal with the spirit husband, it will deal with you. If you don't deal with the spirit wife, it will deal with you. There are many people that have been married and they don't have children. There are husbands that cannot get it up. We had a lady right here. She was sitting down there. She said her husband, she herself is in the marine kingdom. I don't think she knew it. Because it was here when she started manifesting and started talking and talking and talking. The demon spoke and said, they have captured the husband's, you know, private. It's under the water somewhere. The man cannot get it up and can't have children. And you know what? Sometimes when somebody has been captured like that, their mind just don't work right. Because he was here and we were trying to get him to pray. He was being one of those little... I'm thinking to myself, your stuff, being captured under the water somewhere, you're praying cute. I was like, okay, did you hear that? She was... he's one of these hermeneuticals. He went to Bible school. You can go to Bible school. You're stuck being captured under the water. You can't get it up. You can't have children. And you're here smiling. You're not fighting with holy desperation. Me, I'll be on the floor knocking it. When the devil gets provoked, he says some pretty stupid things. So we've seen a lot of stuff. These things are real. This is not a fairy tale. This is not make-believe. We're not just saying this to be cute. These are serious problems happening. happening to people in the church.
And, you know, because in addition to being an MD, she's running a gospel hustle called Firepower Ministries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this goes back to March of 2013, I think. Deliverance from Spirit Husbands and Spirit Wives, Incubus and Succubus, Part 1. And it goes on and on and on and on. And, yeah, please. She said what she said, and, you know, this should be fun because the truth, as the present law reads, the truth is an absolute defense. And she's standing there preaching to her, well, whoever it is that shows up to hear her preach. And these are demons, the lust, men and women that sleep with them in the dream. Mm-hmm. And they've got his thing, I presume she means penis, and the demons have hid it under the water somewhere, and that's why he cannot, and she said it, get it up. Yeah. Well, good luck with all of that to Dr. Emmanuel. Alien DNA. Yeah. We should probably take a clip of that out and just use it on prayer meeting Wednesdays, but I don't know if I could stand that much crazy on a weekly basis. It might be... yeah. Yeesh. As to Dan Bailey out in Montana, Stephen, New York, says he was calm, he was reserved. Dare I say he was professional. He kept smiling. As for Don Lemon, I'm offering a $5 I wish I could do more. Fuck Don Lemon challenge. So anybody want to match that, match Steve's $5 so we can holler, fuck Don Lemon, a little bit louder? Yeah. Thank you, Cecilia. Cecilia just jumped in. And that means that we've got $10 left to go on Ralph's Oh Dear, Robin's Back in the Hole Again, Hey Lassie, Go Get the Sheriff Challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Cecilia. Thank you so much. Megan, with no, forgiveness without repentance is basically enabling abusive behavior. Cucky Tucky got exactly what he deserved, and it was way too calm a response in that store. Don Lemon, you really want to take the high road with a TV personality who literally went on air to ridicule the four cops who testified to the vicious abuse they endured on January the 6th, including a black man who was called the N-word for how he voted? Seriously, at what point does this become excusing incitement to violence? No, I'm asking the Horn family. Because I'm tired of stuff like turn the other cheek and forgiveness being used to basically let the worst among us do whatever the hell they want without consequences. And that's what we're talking about here, in regard to January 6th, in regard to Cucky Tucky, all of this shit. Consequences. Consequences. But there are no consequences when you're dealing with Rupert Murdoch's unlimited money. Because he doesn't care if he loses money or not. If he loses money, so what? He writes it off. And there's no, you know, because the tax code. Yeah. Preacher / doctor Matt in San Francisco says, oh, please bring on the lawsuit. I'd love to see her on the stand under cross-examination. Wouldn't that be a delight? Of course, she might stop all that crazy shit that she does in the pulpit and try to be reasonable, but as long as that video comes in, oh, it's game on. And like I said, the discovery should be a real blast, too. Billable Rick wants to know, did you give a cowbell to Dan Bailey for telling off Cucky Tucky? No, but I have now. Thanks for the reminder, Billable. Yeah, wait, I just got here. What's happening, Arthur says. Did the lady of the lake, Lorena Bobbitt, her boyfriend, penis, ED, water, Tucker Carlson? Wait, what? It can get kind of confusing if you come in medias res, Arthur. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. And this from our buddy Dennis down in Kentucky Stan. If need be, I will wear a mask in public for the rest of my life. I will get a booster shot once a month. I will pay attention to what medical professionals recommend. I will not let the slimy anti-science goons kill me. And I will play the joyful pipes and dance at their funerals. Hear, hear. I mean, maybe when an unvaccinated person dies of the Delta variant or any of the other variants, should we just put the letter S on their tombstone for stupid? Or maybe S for suicide? This is suicidal behavior. You know, what Dennis says there, I will pay attention to what medical professionals recommend. There's a lot of us who don't. I can't tell you how many doctors over the years told me I absolutely had to quit smoking. But I was locked deep in the throes of addiction to one of the most powerful addictive chemicals on earth. And I wasn't able to until I was, well, thoroughly motivated. And I'm taking other medical advice as well. Trying to get more exercise, trying to change my diet a little bit. You know, what do the maggots do when the doc tells them to quit smoking? God damn it, that's just a lie. Smoking don't give you cancer. I have heard I've had Republican healthcare professionals tell me that the smoking causes cancer. Truth. Fact. It was a lie. Mm-hmm. And I like being a non-smoker. I like it a lot. I'm not going to get preachy about it and tell anybody else that they have to, because it, you know, it didn't work when people did that to me. You have to make that decision for yourself. It's a matter of choice, like the maggots say, I guess. But it does. But that doesn't change the validity of the reality that smoking is dangerous on a number of levels. I'm trying to get my triglycerides down. I am hereditarily inclined, you know, my ancient Scandinavian, Scots, Anglo, we came hundreds of thousands of years ago from places where the ability to store fat was the difference between life and death. And so you're trying to overcome your own genetics. Oh, well. But, of course, if you say to a maggot, you know, you probably should eat a little less, you know, bacon, hamburgers, a little less fat food, fast food, prepared food. You know, the goddamn liberals. Trying to take away the joy in our life by taking away our Big Macs. Yeah, I know. As Randy Radar puts it, dancing on someone's grave is supposedly bad luck, but it sure is a lot of fun sometimes. Now, I'm still waiting for news that Flush Flimball has floated out to, you know, gone floating down the Mississippi River like Huck Finn's raft, floated away on a river of piss from people taking a leak on his grave. Jeremy in Vermont asking, did Captain Crunch make Dr. Stella Emanuel an MD? I might as well have. I got it in a box of cereal or maybe in a gumball machine. I swear, going back to Dr. Emanuel, Brother Deacon Asa says, I swear Dr. Emanuel started Firepower Ministries in Texas on a dare. She's from Cameroon, sure, but I'll bet you a wing and a prayer that she was having a scam off with her Nigerian counterparts on who can get physically closer to their Merkin marks without going to prison. And we know what the Nigerian scammers have called their marks since Jeebus was a cadet in the arm of God. MAGA. Really? Yeah. The Nigerian scammers refer to their marks as MAGA. No, sadly, he's not. Randy Radar asks, is Henry Kissinger dribbling his oatmeal yet? I don't think so. Evil is a preservative. And taking medical advice, Steve in New York says, of course they listen to their doctors. Remember this. Not wearing masks, not social distancing, not obtaining the jab has nothing to do with medicine. It's about owning the libs. The thing is, we aren't owned and never have been. We aren't laughing with them. We're laughing near them. That's a Robin Williams quote from Dead Poets Society. Oh, and by the way, Agnes and I watched an absolutely lovely movie last night. I think it's on Stars. It was a 2019 release. Brian Cox is the lead, and he is a fantastic actor. The name of the film is The Etruscan Smile, and it's one of those pleasant little films. I mean, I guess it's a drama, but there are some giggles in it along the way. It's sort of a fish out of water tale. A crotchety, curmudgeonly old Scotsman has to go to America for medical treatment. That alone is funny enough. You know, why would you leave the National Health Service to go to America? But anyway, his son, his estranged son, whom he hasn't seen for 15 years, lives in San Francisco. There's some beautiful location shooting in the city by the bay, and it's of course at the end. No spoilers, but it was a five hanky affair. Bawling. God. But one of the weird things is, and I've noticed this, you know, there's a sequel out, coming out, to Ghostbusters. And, of course, you know, none of the original cast are in it. But it has to do with, and you know, we're so far away from the original Ghostbusters now that the story can be about the grandchildren of one of the Ghostbusters going to his country farm, and weird shit starts to happen. That's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. But what I'm getting at is, it's kind of strange how stories that you and I, being of a certain age, would recognize are completely new to another generation. Because as we made our way through The Etruscan Smile, I looked at Agnes and I said, you know, this kind of seems like a sequel, a sort of tangential sequel to Local Hero. And of course, Local Hero is a quirky little cult classic from the 80s. Just a beautiful, delightful little film. And it's worth the watch. It's a really, really nice piece of filmmaking. And there's some good humor along the way. Some real good laughs. It's just there will be sad tears, and then there will be happy tears at the end. Just saying. Thank you very kindly to Barbara. Thank you, Barbara, so very much. Ralph's challenge has been met, and in fact we are down to $800. So if we could, in say the next hour and 15 minutes of the program, if we could knock out another $100, we at least wouldn't be looking, well, if we could knock out another $101 in the next hour and 15 minutes, we wouldn't be looking at a fundraising hole of four digits. We'd actually be down to just three, the biggest of the three digits, but we would be down to just three, as we'd be down to 999, as Brother Deacon tells me every evening, to let me know that the packets are passing and the stream is going out. Thank you very kindly, Barbara, and thank you to Pat. We're on the way to being down to 999 now. We're at, 775. We've made it to 775. Thank you so very much, Pat, for making it possible for this program to continue. It's not prayer meeting Wednesday, but, well, sometimes there's overlap. They had a hearing. Dadgummit, you gotta be a little, if you want to call in on the, call back on the stress line, I'll go to you. I just wanted to get this one story done. Sorry you were on hold. Hampton Dellinger has been nominated to a position in the Department of Justice. Okay? And he had Hampton Dellinger had his confirmation hearing. And, you know, people like the treasonous insurrectionist Josh Hawley, well, he was there. But the star of the star of the lunatic pageant I didn't think you were lying, Randy Radar. I did not lie. The Wednesday, July 28th WRS file plays fine on my laptop, but the Podbean version doesn't exist, and neither does the Apple Podcast iTunes version as of last check. Well, the Podbean version doesn't exist because Podbean keeps limiting my unlimited, supposedly, uploads at the end of the month. As I said before, I've been uploading the same with them for like 5 years, but in the last year, they've decided that, I guess, they don't like me uploading a three-hour radio program every night. They want the free content, actually the content that I pay them to house, but they don't want all of it. And so there's no Podbean broadcast for yesterday or Tuesday or Monday, because that's when they started throttling me again. The one at White Rose Society is definitely up, but there is apparently a screw-up with the XML feed. But if you go to whiterosesociety.org, it's right there. And I don't know if Brother Deacon Asa can make it, make head-on.live, just harvest that feed. This stuff is stuff that I do not understand. I'm just an humble little radio host who, by dint of necessity, has learned a few things, but certainly not nearly enough. Okay. Wow. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to our pal Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you very kindly. It is now official. Tomorrow we will not have a four-digit weeks and months and fundraising goal. We got a fighting chance. Thank you. Thank you. So that takes us down to $675 for... to come up even with this evening. Thank you, Scott. Thank you so very much, my friend. So there we were in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it came around time for Senator John Kennedy, otherwise known as Senator Junior Samples, Senator Jubilation T. Cornpone of Louisiana stand. You know, he's up for re-election in 2022, I think. Sure would be nice if there was a Democrat in Louisiana that had a fighting chance of taking him down, but now, well, let's go to the clip first, okay? Questioning Hampton Dellinger, a Justice Department nominee. Bear in mind, this is a legal position, and it's not legislative. No. Oh, well.
Well, Senator,
do you believe in God?
Senator, I have faith, I believe. I certainly...
A lot of people have faith.
Right.
Did it ever occur to you that some people may base their position on abortion on their faith?
Senator, I sincerely appreciate people who have a different position on abortion than I...
You sure don't tweet it. Have you ever tweeted that?
Well, Senator, I'm saying it now under oath, and I do...
Yeah, you're up to be nominated. You want me to vote for you?
Well, Senator, I am determined to tell the truth, and if I could make clear...
Wait, you want me to vote for you? No, Senator, I came into this hearing knowing you were not going to vote for me. None of the maggots are going to vote for me. It would be refreshing to hear something like that, but of course, then Senator Cornpone would begin screaming... About contempt to Congress, contempt to the Senate. God damn it, get the sergeant at arms. How dare you? But wait a damn minute. You got to remember, Senator John Kennedy didn't always speak that way. He can turn his Jubilation T. Cornpone on and off just like I can. I do it for giggles. He does it for effect with the rubes back home. the man has a degree from Oxford University, and I don't mean the University of Mississippi in Oxford, Mississippi. No, the real one, the one in merry old England. Yeah, he's got one. And he was, I think, what, the Attorney General of Louisiana, Stan? And he was a Democrat once upon a time, but he saw the handwriting on the wall down there and realized that he was enjoying his little gig playing politics. And it occurred to him to realize that he was never going to stay in office and keep both feet, both the front and back feet in the trough if he wasn't a Republican. So he turned coat. And now he's as maggot as the day is long, because if you want to stay in office in a place like Louisiana, Stan, you better march to the maggot drumbeat, baby. But he knows how awful and how inappropriate that goddamn question was, because it's right there in the Constitution that he is bound to be more than passingly familiar with. That there shall be no religious test for holding office in the United States. No religious test. The framers put that in there for a reason, by the way. They put that in there so that the same sectarian wars that ripped Mother England apart and ripped Europe apart during the Reformation would not rip the young republic apart. You don't get to ask that question. Do you believe in God? Mr. Dellinger would have had every right in the world to look at him and say, "Sir, you have no right to ask that question. I refer you to the Constitution of the United States. My religious faith is none of your goddamn business. And stop playing to the cheap seats back home in Louisiana." But see, our side can't do that. The only people who can do that are the brat Kavanaughs of the world, who cry and shriek and scream and pound on the table about how unfairly they're being treated and how they like beer. Yeah. Of course, you also might remember another confirmation hearing of the recent past, and I'm talking about Amy. Justice handmaid Amy Covid Barrett. Yeah, Amy Covid Barrett. She's a religious maniac. She's literally referred to as handmaid. She's part of a religious cult, which, by the way, ran some schools where children were sexually abused. But we can't talk about that either. So, with her confirmation hearing coming up, what happened? Well, with her confirmation coming up, the Republicans mounted a preemptive attack so that no Democrat could ask her anything about her religious lunacy. And nobody did. But still, the Republicans held, they don't like her because of her religion. Nobody asked a single religious question. By God, there would have been fire and fury if they had, however. But, you know, Democrats can't do that kind of thing. But I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. Yeah. And Josh Hawley of Missouri, back then, in the Amy Covid Barrett Justice Handmaid hearings, they preemptively said through Josh Hawley, and this was, of course, before he called upon the maggots to storm the doors and the windows of the Capitol building, before he committed treason against his own government. Josh Hawley said that to even ask Amy Covid Barrett about Griswold versus Connecticut. And remember, it's Griswold that ultimately the fetus fetishists are after. It's not Roe. It's Griswold versus Connecticut that establishes the right to privacy and establishes the right to contraception. And that is what the religious maniacs want to take away, even from women who don't, and men. Contraceptives also include condoms. They want to take contraception away from women and men who do not follow Catholic doctrine. They want to make Catholic doctrine the actual law of the United States of America. And Josh Hawley went so far as to say that to even ask her about Griswold versus Connecticut would constitute religious bigotry against Catholics. Wow! Wow! Yeah. Okay, thanks, Silent R. Silent R was the one on hold and then decided not to. It's a great show tonight. Thank you, Silent R. And then there's, that was John Kennedy in the here and now. How about John Kennedy 9 years ago when he was state treasurer of Louisiana? I was wrong. It wasn't attorney general. Let's check in with John Kennedy then.
We have in the Department of Treasury about $517 million that belongs to the people of Louisiana.
Hold on. That audio is just way too damn low. Let's see if we can get this somewhere else. Yeah, here. John Kennedy, state treasurer, on unclaimed property.
We have in the Department of Treasury about $517 million that belongs to the people of Louisiana. It's lost money. We call it unclaimed property, and everybody can use a little extra money at Christmas. When a business has your money, usually it's a business, and it can't fine you. It can't just keep that money. It's got to turn it over to me as state treasurer, and it becomes my job to return the money. Every day we get in tens of thousands of dollars in uncashed payroll checks, mutual funds, stocks, bonds, utility deposits, apartment deposits. As I say, we get in a lot of uncashed payroll checks.
You got that? Okay. We're okay. That's John Kennedy then. Let's go back now. John Kennedy now.
Well, Senator, I
do you believe in God?
Senator, I have faith. I believe.
A lot of people have faith.
Right.
Did it ever occur to you that some people may base their position on abortion on their faith?
You notice how his pitch goes up, and the twang becomes more pronounced. He's playing to the rubes in the cheap seats at home. And shame, shame, shame upon him. For doing it, and knowing damned well that there shall be no religious test for holding office, and that is straight out of the Constitution. Hypocrisy, thy name is Republican. Oh, but remember the other day when the maggot, the insurrection caucus, said that they had called the Attorney General, and they know we're coming. We're going. No, you don't have an appointment with the Attorney General. It's a stunt. Well, the stunt continued today. The three G's, it Gates better, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cuball, and Louis Asparagus Gohmert. They went over to. They went over to the jail where some of the people who committed the insurrection are being held pending trial. Some of the more dangerous ones who went before a judge who actually took this thing seriously. A couple of the, let's see, what is it, the RSB Network. That's the one with the silly person who said, "Here's the tolerant left, here's the tolerant left," at the when they got shut down by a dude with a whistle. Well, they followed the 3Gs. Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, was there too, as long with the rotten shit broadcasting network. And they claimed that they were going to inspect the facility to make sure that the detainees, the people they refer to as political prisoners, the people who attacked constitutional governance on the 6th day of January, 2021, were being fairly treated. You know, like there's some sort of international committee of the Red Cross.
All right, Matt Gaetz is going to go and see if we can, if we're actually locked out.
This is the same one that was, that's the same woman that was barking about the tolerant left.
Florida Representative Matt Gaetz is currently locked out.
No, the doors to the jail are fucking locked because there's a pandemic, you silly twit. And you can't just wander in and spray your viral particles all over a vulnerable prison population. They're locked out. They've been locked out. This is pathetic. I mean, even as propaganda, it's poorly done propaganda. Jesus Christ, even Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, who I'm sure were invited, weren't there.
Of the D.C. Correctional Facility. This is... Oh, let's see if they lock him out, too. How can you... An attorney is here to visit his client, and they have locked him out from seeing his client. This is ridiculous.
What is she, 12? I think her voice is actually higher than Jeffrey Jr.'s.
We have our masks on. Everyone here has their masks on who are attempting to go in.
Well, Matt Gaetz did not have a mask on at first, but then he put one on.
Inside, and currently, as Marjorie Taylor Greene said earlier, if this is any indication of how they are treating their prisoners, it's as bad as they say it is.
And have not given us access. This was apparently a bait and switch. We are here just to speak to a supervisor, and when the supervisor...
And there's Marjorie Taylor Gangrene cue ball. Up against the door, walking around it, looking at the door like a cow looks at a new gate. New gates? Wait a minute. Is that a thing? Never mind. She's absolutely baffled by the handles on the door. God, this, you could do a remake of the old Monty Python sketch about the upper class twit Olympics with this. Oh no, she's been. She's been stymied by a door handle. She's obviously perplexed. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Arnold. Arnold saying, great show as always. I appreciate it. Ah, oh, Jesus.
Supervisor came out, and we came out to have that discussion. They literally ran behind us and locked the doors so that we wouldn't have the opportunity to present our...
Get in and spread the disease! Jesus, maggots!
Identification and seek a review.
And now Marjorie Taylor Gangrene Cucumber is waving at somebody inside the building, trying to wave the glass. Hey, do you know who I am? Yeah, I'm dumber than a box of rocks. Hey, could we go see the political prisoners?
This is a rare time under this administration where prison is used to lock people out.
Remember, that's Louis Asparagus Gohmert, who used to sit on the Court of Criminal Appeals in Texas. And he doesn't understand that that prisons are used to lock people in and lock people out, especially during a pandemic. But then they finally got to confront the man. The man. Yeah. I wish I was kidding. Live, Representatives Gaetz, Gosar, Gohmert, and I guess it was 4G, not 5G. Matt in San Francisco, Gaetz, Gohmert, and Green. The law offices of Gaetz, Gohmert, and Green. When insanity is your only defense, the law offices of Gaetz, Gohmert, and Green. when you really, really have to have an ineffective assistance of counsel claim right now. Why it not play? Oh, here we go.
At the correctional facility where the political prisoners from January 6th are currently being held, I am with the members of Congress, Gates, Green, Gohmert, and Gosar, who are waiting to see if they can be granted
access
to go
inside. Wait a minute. They're giving a mask to Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cucumber.
They can tour and see.
They've given one to Matt Gates.
What is happening.
Now Marjorie Gangrene Cucumber is passing out masks to other people, offering them to other people. Dear God, don't let the anti-vaxxer maggot COVIDiot mask holes see this, or well, they'll put it. Yeah.
They have come outside. We are waiting for a supervisor.
Put it
to
on, stupid.
Their entrance, and it's been about 5 minutes or so. Right now, they've asked.
She was previously stymied by a door and door handles. There, she can be seen being baffled by the little piece of wire that runs along the top of the mask. Matt Gaetz got his on. Louis Asparagus Gohmert got his on. Matt Gaetz actually had a mask on, a cloth mask. He's now wearing one of the little blue disposables. Yes, yes. Tell us more, little twit.
They've come outside and asked us to put on masks before we go inside. So as you can see right now, we've got in front of us Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia.
Who put on a mask and somehow is still managing to breathe?
And Representative Matt Gaetz.
Oh, she pulled it down under her nose.
Marjorie,
no, it's
do you
back
mind if
up
I ask
now.
You a few questions while we're waiting? Okay, let me mute this really quick. So what is the idea behind today? What do you want to see from this correctional facility or not see?
Well, we may get some questions answered here in just a second. We've all been writing letters, sending letters, asking questions about January 6th. We visited the Department of Justice.
We didn't get in. Nobody wanted to talk to us, but, you know, we.
On Tuesday, and so we're here at the jail in D.C. just asking questions. There's been a lot of stories that have been talked about from their families, the detainees that are being held here from January 6th.
They definitely don't like the food.
From their attorneys and all over social media. So we're just here asking questions, and we feel like it's important as members of Congress to ask questions in every way about January 6th.
Is there any actual content in anything that she said? And as Darlene points out, Darlene in Connecticut, they wouldn't give a shit if these were black people in the slammer for January the 6th. Oh, wait, hang on, my apologies. Let me scratch that. If it had been black people who had stormed the Bastille on January 6th, they'd all be dead. Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, Nitwit Nero gassed people in the previous summer. And he really wanted to use live ammunition.
Since Nancy Pelosi has decided to make her committee a completely political witch hunt.
Yeah, stupid. That was the choice of your majority leader, stupid. He's the one that pulled the Republicans off the committee, stupid. And by the way, Stephen New York reminds us, let's remember, let's not forget something. This is a D.C. jail. They have no right to be there because, the federal government doesn't run it, nor is it responsible for it. The jail could have just told them to, daddy's little deferment, like her daddy once said, go fuck yourself.
And we don't want to do that. So we're here checking on due process, asking questions to make sure that folks here aren't being treated like political prisoners because they have their rights.
And what are some of the stories you've heard of the alleged treatment of these January 6th prisoners?
Well, some of the things that I had put in my letter were, for examples, were stories like one detainee apparently was beaten so badly his skull was fractured and is now blind in one eye.
What was he wearing?
Also stories about solitary confinement, anywhere from 22 to 24 hours a day.
Sometimes that's protective custody. Maybe there are people in that jail who don't like the fact that the people being held are a bunch of goddamn racists. I mean, gang culture in jails is kind of a thing, right? Yeah, it is. It definitely is. So then, eventually, someone from the jail actually comes out and speaks to these morons.
And they spent 26 hours obstructing a session of Congress. So
this is Louis Asparagus Gohmert, remember, former judge.
Anyway, we'd like to see the conditions. We'd like to know how people are being treated here. And so we got somebody that stepped down.
All right, and it looks like we have an officer who's come out, a correctional officer, and she's accusing, it sounds like, the members of Congress of trespassing by coming in to... Her supervisor has said, quote, that they are trespassing by attempting to come into this correctional facility.
Whether or not to fund you, at what level, and we're trespassing.
I understand that.
My gosh, the government is upside down.
Can you please go ask your supervisor?
You right now are obstructing entrance into this facility. This is the way people enter. You're obstructing
entrance. We won't obstruct the entrance.
Nope, we'll help anybody.
No, that's what we're doing. Okay, we'll clear the entrance. We'll clear the pathway.
All right, so these four representatives have currently been accused of trespassing and obstruction so far. Very interesting.
I just asked her if she was ready to talk to us and answer our questions about the January 6th detainees, and she told me that we were trespassing. I told her that as members of Congress, we have oversight over federal prisons. We've got members of judiciary here, members of oversight here. Both.
Wait a minute. I told her we've got oversight of federal prisons. Guess what? Steve in New York was right. It's not a federal prison, you dipshit!
Committees that oversee facilities like this, we absolutely are not trespassing, and if that attitude is any indication of how they're treating their prisoners inside, I have great concern.
Well, if they can consider us trespassers that fund this facility, have top secret clearance, and I know there are some, I mean, that have...
Yes, sir! Put it on your camera.
Oh, wait, holy shit! Louis Gohmert has a top-secret clearance? Well, I guess that means that Vlad Putin really does know everything that we know.
That if, actually, you know, consorted with spies and things, but we are...
Now, there are people trying to visit inside the jail, and that's what it is. It's a jail. And they really are the 4Gs, the 4G network. They really are obstructing access to the facility for people who have legitimate, real, legal reasons for being there. Still no taser. Still no pepper spray. Still no chokeholds. Still no takedowns. Because, well, we all know, don't we? I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. I-O-K-I-Y-A-M. It's okay if you're a maggot. Mm-hmm. Ralph's wanting to know, so where are the affidavits?
I know.
If the 1-6 goons are political prisoners, Megan says, then the United States government owes Leonard Peltier one hell of an apology. Isn't that the damn truth? God Almighty. Just gonna... Yeah. Mumia might have one coming, too. Not saying, just saying.
Cleared for top secret. and we do inspect facilities, and I've never, ever, in the years I've been in Congress, ever run into an issue like this until this administration took over and until this speaker took over this time. I mean, trespassing, actually, the Border Patrol used that same word when I was going down, or trying to go down, a federal road that we're authorized to do. So,
now,
anyway.
Ms. Green, has anyone responded to any of your letters requiring about the status of some of the breachers here?
No one has responded to any of our...
Did he say preachers or creatures? My God, these... Well, and then somehow or another, they found themselves outside the building. How'd that happen?
Avoiding, you know, what's really going on here, which is these four congressmen simply asking for permission to enter and inspect the facilities here today. We're live. This is Right Side Broadcasting Network, and just getting a supervisor right now appears to be a problem.
The supervisor came down, was standing right here, and turned her back on me. The other one says she won't talk anymore, that we're trespassers. She's not saying any more than that. We have turned a corner. We're in totalitarian Marxist territory here. This is the way third world people get treated. People that...
If you had totalitarian Marxist on your bingo card, you win. And, of course, there's a couple of idiots with posters behind them. This time they were ready. They didn't. Nobody's whistling them down this time. Where's due process? Well, it's in the 14th Amendment, but since you asked. And then there's the other sign that reads, Free Biden's political prisoners. Jesus, it looks like Carol printed those. Meanwhile, the whole thing is funded. Reps tour prison facility for political prisoners. And they've got enough money to burn a sopping wet herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills. Onan does. News muck. And it comes from somewhere. Oh, it comes from somewhere, and it's not just from Buy Gold Now ads. Tell us more. You fucking Solon, you Louis Asparagus Gomert, who doesn't understand the concept of trespass. By the way, for those who don't know, one of the first legal concepts you learn when you go have a cup of coffee in law school is one of the first doctrines of English common law to develop, and that was, of course, the concept of trespass. There's trespass, and there's trespass on the case. And, you know, long about the lesson on that, you're looking around going, shit, I could be working on a master's degree in English now. Trespass on the case? What? But eventually you get used to it. And Steve in New York says, please give the D.C. jail folks a cowbell. Again, that D.C.-run jail had not one obligation to do anything other than what they did. Yeah, they deserve it. Simply asking for permission for entry. They told you no! I guess we just had a big blip at about 7:17. Let me make sure that... Yeah, stream's still running. Okay, thanks, Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you, Brother Usher Steve. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the horror. And the thing is, this went on for 1 hour and 52 minutes and 35 seconds of pure, untrammeled stupid. God almighty. No IQ. Obviously, there are no IQ test requirements. To be a member of Congress. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Absolutely a scream. Interesting little statement by Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin today. He went on MSNBC speaking to Ayman Mohyeldin, and it had to do with new revelations on what Trump did to try to overturn the 2020 election and the report that's been issued. Dick Durbin, who doesn't, you know, exactly run around screaming and waving his arms, well, he made it clear that there were a lot of problems. Well, beyond problems, that maybe we don't even know how close we got to absolute disaster.
With new details on then-President Trump's desperate attempt to overturn the 2020 election in his final days in office, the Washington Post reporting that the former president called his acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, nearly every single day to press false claims of voter fraud and improper vote counts. Notes from some of those calls taken by one of Rosen's top aides could be turned over to Congress. And Rosen and the aide who took the notes could face questioning by committees looking into Trump's actions in the days following the election. Joining me now is Devlin Barrett, one of the Washington Post reporters who broke that story. Devlin, it's great to have you with us. So
we will, as the saying goes, skip a bit, sister. And let's go to the Dick Durbin part.
Barrett, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And joining us now to continue the conversation on this is Illinois Senator Dick Durbin. He is the Senate Majority Whip, as well as Chair of the Judiciary Committee. Senator, thank you so much for coming back on the program. I want to begin by getting your reaction to Devlin Barrett's reporting and what it tells you about Donald Trump's efforts to use the Justice Department to pursue his false claims of election fraud.
Well, it confirms many suspicions, but it also provides us with good news. It confirms our suspicions that former President Donald Trump was virtually unhinged after this election, flailing away in every direction, every court suit that he could file to try to push his big lie that this election had been stolen from him. So it confirms that. And secondly, though, it confirms the fact that Jeffrey Rosen, as has been reported, was being harassed and still stood his ground. Some of us were skeptical. Remember, Bill Barr left after saying it was largely honest and accurate election results. He was canned by Donald Trump. And in came Jeffrey Rosen, an unproven quantity. And he turned out to have the backbone to stand up to this president, by all reports. So that's good information to know.
Yeah, as I mentioned with Devlin there, the reporting came not too long after the Justice Department told several former Trump administration officials, including Jeffrey Rosen, that they, in fact, can answer questions from Congress about efforts by Donald Trump or his Justice Department to challenge, to stop the counting, or perhaps even overturn the results of the presidential election. Which brings me to my question to you. We know you want to bring Rosen and others before your committee. When do you expect that to happen?
Well, we've got work to do. We've got to take a look at the notes and see what level of cooperation we can receive from Mr. Rosen. But let me tell you why this is important. This manufactured madness of Donald Trump about the results of the election has been bought into by so many Americans who are desperate to believe that he never should have left the White House. And if we're going to put any truth to dispel these rumors, we've got to come out with a complete record. Nancy Pelosi's doing it on January 6th. We need to do the same about President Trump's antics in the weeks preceding his departure from the White House.
Let's switch gears for a moment, if I can, Senator. About 2 weeks ago, a federal judge in Texas ruled that the DACA program for undocumented migrants brought to the U.S. as children was illegal and that it had to stop accepting applications. You are a leading proponent of the DREAM Act to protect these folks. Here's what you had to say in March about efforts to get that passed. Watch.
The vast majority of Americans of all political faiths support it, and yet I brought it to the floor five times, and I've been stopped by the filibuster five times from passing it. I had a majority. I didn't have 60 votes. Do I have 60 now? I think I'm close, and I'm going to sit down with members of the Republican side and ask them if they would consider supporting it.
But there it is, just like we said all along. Because, you know, if the news is the first draft of history, so much of what we talk about here is the oh, I don't know, the crystal ball. We figure things out before it becomes the news. And so he was crazy. He was absolutely desperately insane to stay in the White House. And the question that doesn't get answered there, I guess because it would require speculation. The question that doesn't get asked or answered is why. I mean, sure, every first-term president wants a second term. And I'm sure there's no doubt that it fucking sucks to lose on a personal basis. But I don't think this is that. This is the fact that he knows there is tremendous legal jeopardy for him as a private citizen. And his only hope for avoiding it was to remain president, because the president, by operation of some really stupid policy making, is deemed to literally be above the law. We spent so much time over the 4 years of the Trumpian nightmare talking about Section 4 of the 25th Amendment. And I think it's safe to say now that we were right about that too. And every single individual in the Trump cabinet who did not act within the parameters of the 25th Amendment did a grave disservice to this country and, in fact, violated their own oaths to the Constitution. Because he was removable under Section 4 the whole damn time. Among other things, he's probably addicted to one or more chemical substances. And I ain't talking about caffeine. What Noel Kassler said about his Adderall usage. And they need to be remembered for that. Every last one of them, even the ones who bailed out, you know, General Mattis, who said that Trump was entitled to his silence. He put Nitwit Nero before the Constitution because the Constitution was entitled to his vocal, honest assessment, because that's part of defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And for 4 years, we had a domestic enemy of the Constitution in office. By the way, going back to the jail stunt there in D.C. with the 4G network, Les pointed out, and wisely, I'll add, they won't let the co-conspirator Confederate Congress members in to synchronize their stories with the terrorists. Yeah, it's not like they're their lawyers. And, I don't know, were some of those political prisoners the ones that they helped figure out how to get around in the Capitol building, where the tunnels were and stuff like that? Could that possibly be? I think you're onto something, Les. Y'all, they're gonna do it again. They are definitely gonna do it again. Meanwhile, as noted at the beginning of the program, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball says that the House of Representatives is evil. Jack in Shreveport pointing out jail conditions for insurrectionists. MSNBC had some insurrectionist dude on for an interview. He was the one with his feet up on Pelosi's desk. He whined about solitary confinement and so forth. That solitary may have saved his damn life. Because there might have been no people in there who would like to have... I mean, you know what? It's possible to be in jail and be patriotic at the same time. Yeah. Not saying, just saying. Yeah. God, there is just so much. There's so much on any given Thorn in the Side Thursday. Let me see here. The governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, has declared a public health emergency in Arkansas because of the spread of the Delta variant and the fact that it's burning that poor state up. Now, there's a public health emergency in Arkansas, but Governor Asa Hutchinson says masks will not be required and, quote, we're going to be wide open. So it's really not a public health emergency if you're going to let the public health emergency run rampant in your state. Mm-hmm. Geniuses, I'm telling you. Absolute geniuses. And then something that John and PA forwarded along to me. Oh my God! In Calvert County in southern Maryland, a sign by the side of the road: Joe and the hoe gotta go. And at the bottom in smaller print, from your deplorables in Calvert County. Joe and the hoe gotta go. Stay classy, maggots. Yeah, stay classy. And let's see what now. Let's see. What's okay? I think we got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve.
You do. You have Steve on the line. Yes, you do. I wanted to talk a little bit about shit. I emailed. I've been going in and out because I've had some shit to do and haven't been able to listen unabated. First, most important thing, did they meet my little challenge?
Yes, that is met.
Okay, cool. So I'll finally, you want to hear a story? Remember, I think I told you my debit card got stolen.
Yeah, we're down, by the way, we're down to 665. Wait a minute, I thought it got magnetized by your vaccine.
Well, other than that, but no, it got stolen the other day. And here was the funny part. I went to Mickey D's just to buy sodas. I don't eat the food there. I haven't eaten the food there in about 15 years. And I happened to go back over there the other day because I thought I had left my vaccine card there. And I'm, you know, in my characters, I like to know people, so I know the names of everybody there. And I said to the manager, I said, did anybody leave a yeah, you know, did you find a vaccine card? And he walks out with my debit card. And I said, oh, so what someone did was they found my debit card, went and bought themselves some shit, and then brought it back, you know, playing the Good Samaritan, like, oh, look, I found a debit card. Look how good I am. But anyway...
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of a win, but you still got to get it replaced, right?
Oh, you know what, Robin? You don't realize how dependent you are on shit like that till you start getting the emails about we tried to take the payment for this, that, and whatever, and it got returned, and you just realize how much your life is dependent on that shit. But anyway, And again, I finally got some resolution there. So I made a pledge last Friday, and which I will be sending over, and then the thing today. I think the pledge last Friday was 20, and I remember saying something about I don't have access to the money, but some shit happened today, so I'll be firing up the PayPal or the Venmo or whatever the hell I've got. But again, I don't know if you saw my email today about the I calculated what the average increase in cases was over the past 39 days. Was a 7.45% was the average. And I projected over the next – if in fact it stays at 7.45%, which I'm skeptical that it will. I suspect it won't be that high. But if it did, we would have – we would be daily 577,000 cases per day at that point.
Jesus.
Yeah. And I kept looking at it. I kept thinking, is this right? Am I missing this? And I double checked it. But then what I also did is I looked at what would happen if it were only 3% per day from here going forward, and that would still be 162,400 cases per day by August 29th. And some of the other shit that I talked about was the whole South Carolina thing really got my – that got me thinking. And I've been looking at that in light of what the New York Times cases have been – or the New York Times reporting has been, where the cases are going up fairly rapidly. But the deaths are staying constant – pretty constant. Hospitalizations seem to be rising again. So, I mean, and on the South Carolina front, what I'm concerned about is if the ICU beds continue to rise and the deaths rise equivalently, then what it essentially means is it's unvaccinated people.
That seems an inescapable conclusion.
Yeah. And what really concerns me is this. If we can identify clusters in a place like South Carolina, say, which has a fairly large tourist industry, if we start seeing those clusters in places like Hilton Head and Myrtle Beach, which get a lot of out-of-state visitors, that's where it's going to be.
Call that the Sturgis model.
Yes. Oh, and we've got that coming up August 6th, which is next, I think, next Saturday. So, yay us.
Yeah. If the Delta variant isn't where you are, it will be after Sturgis.
It will be after Sturgis.
And, that's a thing that there was a lot of talk about, cell phone tracking. You know, stuff that you don't even know, because they're worried about Bill Gates is going to track them with the 5G. But, for instance, when Vegas reopened, we were able to see almost immediately what the impact that had on the rest of the country. And it spread out from – and they did the same thing with cell – what happened? Where did all the cell phone tracking data go? Where are those stories anymore?
The same thing. Remember the thing after spring break in Florida? That's another big one that they that we got last year. I don't want to be right, and I'm probably not to this extent right, but all you have to do is look at the future and say,
we've already been to this movie.
We've been to this movie. And I don't know if you saw the weird shit that came out of the UK in the last few days, where a number of medical professionals don't understand why this is happening, because the UK completely opened up on the 19th. But the last several days, the cases have been plummeting. And they're not quite sure why that is. frankly, I don't trust Boris Johnson and his government, but nobody knows. So I guess we'll see. And what here's a number of things that bug me. We didn't have to be here. We didn't have to be in a position where we have to start looking at this stuff again.
No, this look, bugs. I mean, the entire thing is avoidable. It was avoidable. Mm-hmm. We could have prevented this, but we had the misfortune of having someone in office who didn't want to prevent it. I don't understand the psychopathy of that, but it. You know, you have to face the facts. We are where we are as a matter of choice, mm-hmm. and not chance.
Right. I'm trying to think where I saw this. I don't remember where I saw it, where they interviewed the UK ambassador. And I may have been on CNN, I'm not certain, where the people said to her, and they were talking about this strange decrease in cases, which they're not quite certain of what's happening there. And they made the point, or the point that they made was they don't have they have the anti-vax, anti-mask people in the UK, but it's not near to the extent that we have here. And which I found very interesting. You have a UK ambassador in the Johnson government saying that. Putting all that aside, Robin, I would so love to go see my dad and my stepmom in Georgia. I haven't seen my brother and his wife and my niece and nephew. I haven't seen them since Thanksgiving 2 years ago.
Because you're doing the right thing.
And I'll tell you what, I don't foresee being able to go there this Thanksgiving either. And you and I have talked about this offline a bit. I want to go to the Hornin desperately.
Oh, we want you here.
I am terrified.
But it's, it's 10 months out. We're not going to lock back down under any set of circumstances. It might be appropriate, but you want to talk about blood in the streets. It would be apocalyptic if Joe Biden were to try.
Oh, I know.
Simply requiring they're going to be screaming about Nazism and death camps just because he's going to require every federal employee to either be vaccinated or submitted to regular testing.
And I hope it's not just regular testing. It's you're going to have to pay for this. Want to come to work, you pay for it.
And social distancing and masks. And again, vaccinated people. You know, we're talking about vaccinated people wearing masks, not because of at this point in time, it's a matter of reducing one's own viral load.
And to be honest with you, the fact that I'm vaccinated, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I could have it. With no symptoms, I could have the Delta variant with no symptoms. But the fact is, given the thousand times the original virus, viral load, even though I don't have symptoms, I could be spewing all over somebody. Which is why when I'm on the subway, when I walk through my office building, the only time I don't wear a mask is when I forget.
And then it's in your pocket.
And it's in my pocket, or I left it hang. I have a little hook next to my my chair on my desk. I mean, I wear it when I stay in my building and walk 2 minutes to go to the bathroom, generally, or I walk to the copier. But again, what pisses me off is we didn't have to be here. We, like you just said, we knew the script. We knew how this movie was going to turn out.
And we knew how to deal with it because we dealt with it.
And we knew how to deal with it.
Because we dealt with it in SARS-CoV-1. And I think the rest of the world was actually grateful for that. Because we cooperated on a global level. And by the way, since you mentioned South Carolina, Stan, Todd wants you to know Greenville County, Horry County, which is Myrtle Beach, and Richland County have always been hot spots since the pandemic began.
Oh, great. That's good.
And
hey.
They continue to be so. Myrtle Beach really is a very cosmopolitan area, believe it or not. I do believe
it's
as overdeveloped as any beach is in America.
With all those cheesy timeshares and all that. No, I know.
Yeah. God, who buys in on a timeshare? Jesus Christ.
That's probably who buys in on a timeshare. Jeebus Cripes.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. But, you know... And nobody loves going to Myrtle Beach like the hillbillies do. I mean, it's really weird. It's straight across to Virginia Beach. It's just a little bit more complicated to get to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. But by God, we go to Myrtle. We go to Myrtle every time.
And then we get to go to south of the border.
What is it? Pedro's south of the border, is that what it is?
Is that what it is? Yeah. Where you see the signs, the billboards 500 miles along Interstate 90?
Yeah, it's the modern equivalent of the Sea Rock City of generations past. See seven states, see Ruby Falls, Sea Rock City. Because it was a great way to get your barn painted for free.
Right. I remember I went to... south of the border one time. I think I got there like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I remember walking through it, and it was absolutely empty. And I remember thinking to myself, "What's this is a classic case of
there's no there here.
No, there's no there here. It's a classic case of supply creating demand." Oh, I have something extremely...
I mean, at least with Stuckey's, there were the pecan log rolls.
Oh, I know. I used to work for Stuckey's.
Really? I didn't know
in
that.
In their corporate office. I knew Williamson Stuckey.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. After he bought the company back from somewhere. They used to... The place that they had that made the pecan logs was in a candy place in, I think it was Eastman, Georgia. And I remember one of the person who did the marketing... And I worked in her office, told me that what was interesting was the guy who was the manager of the production line was illiterate. And the only way that he could tell what was coming off the line was by the color of the package.
That's a little disconcerting.
Yeah, it was. It was the Standard Candy Company in Eastman, Georgia. Yeah. But no, I had plenty of pecan logs because the office had the pecan logs and the divinity and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, and the pralines,
the pralines. And I suspect there's an awful lot of people in the Horn family from the western part and in the northern part saying, "What in God's name are they talking about?"
Well, they spread but pretty far.
They were mostly
and
in the south. They yeah. really were mostly in the south.
And you crossed the Mississippi River, and there was Nickerson's Farms. I remember mm-hmm. that. And all of those things are pretty much gone now. One of the old Stuckey's, because the blue roofs were the dead giveaway, those sort of turquoise blue roofs.
Uh-huh.
One of the, and it's one of the Stuckey's we would stop at between West Virginia and Alabama. We broke down there one time. It is near Upton, Kentucky. And it's now a shockingly frank sex toy store.
I was going to say, is it like a head shop or a porn store?
Yep. and they start advertising it about as far away from it as they did with Stuckey's.
Yeah.
Dildos are us.
Wonderful. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, I feel like I only call in ever to give bad news or to talk about bad shit. So I'm going to talk about some good shit.
Yeah?
Did you see that Texas and OU got invitations from the SEC to join?
No. That pisses me off.
Yeah. Can I just look between you and me, and I know just everybody else, don't listen. I know because you don't like
We're
our
talking college
you don't like
ball.
Robin and my pedestrian talking about the college football. I thought the same thing. I'm like, No.
I had a fix that would have worked perfectly if only they would have listened to me.
We'll call them up.
Missouri has no business in the SEC. They've got.
Are they in the SEC?
Yes.
So why is Missouri? Okay.
Work with
See, now
me.
You just got my ire up.
I got your dander up.
You did.
Missouri's in the SEC, but they have natural cross-border rivalries. I mean, they even call it the border war with Kansas and Kansas State, both of which are in the Big 12. West Virginia has no natural geographical connection to a single school in the Big 12. The nearest road game for West Virginia, any of their teams, is 900-plus miles one way.
West Virginia's in the Big 12?
Yes!
Why are they not in the SEC?
Dang. Okay, that like I said, I had a perfect fix. So Missouri goes to the Big 12. West Virginia goes to the SEC. We have beautiful rivalries with Kentucky and South Carolina and Tennessee.
Now, I know this is anathema. However,
if you say the Big Ten, I'm gonna end the call.
No, wait a minute. I was going to say, if the choice is Big 12 or Big 10, I would say Big 10. But if it's Big 10, Big 12, or SEC, I would say SEC.
Yeah, well, see, the Big 10 would never let WVU in. We have more Rhodes Scholars than any other state university in the country. But, historically. But we can't match the academic rigor, so the Big Ten claims. But hell, I'll put WVU's academics up against the Alabama's or Auburn's, or just about any other SEC school any day of the damn week.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you: does West Virginia? The one thing, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here. The one thing. I'm thinking that the Big Ten has, particularly with Michigan and Ohio State, and probably with Wisconsin and maybe Illinois or Iowa, is the alumni base. I mean, I don't know that anybody can compete with Ohio State's alumni base.
But, well, you know, I mean, we're a big-ass university now. At the time that I was there, you know, back when I rode my dinosaur to class, I think the entire student body, you know, grad students, law school, medical school, undergrads, et cetera, taken together was about 19,000. It's over 30 now. But then again, most people forget that the largest state university, the largest university, period, I think this still holds true. Do you know?
I was going to say Penn State.
Nope. The Golden Gophers of Minnesota.
Really? How many people? Well,
Jesus, it could just about qualify for two senators at this point.
Yeah.
The university.
I will say this, it's funny. Ohio State and Columbus in particular, when are on spring break, you go down around campus and all that. It's noticeable because a lot of the bars and restaurants or whatnot, I don't want to say they're empty, but it's considerably less. But once school starts, I think it's between 75 and 100,000 people. I mean...
Oh, I remember. I went to my fraternity's training academy, which they used to... I don't know if they still do. But they would help. They would hold it in the summer at... And you forgot to say the, damn it. They're going to take away your Buckeye card.
Okay.
But they would hold it at the Ohio State University. Mm-hmm. And we would be put up in those big cubular dorms they've got. Mm-hmm. The towers there.
Mm-hmm.
And... go to our trainings and everything during the day, and then go down to what's the main campus drag? Is that High Street?
High Street, yeah.
I remember that because the main drag in Morgantown's High Street too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wide eyed with God damn, this is big. And let's see, I think I was I was 20 that summer. That's how long ago it was.
Mm-hmm.
I was
mm-hmm.
20.
You know what? That's something you and I have to do. I mean, apart from the Hornet, is go to a fucking college football game.
Oh hell yes!
Whether it's in WVU, whether it's in Columbus or both, we got to do that. I've only been to one college game in my entire life.
You're kidding?
Nope.
Oh, you have you? I mean, I know everybody. Yeah. Well, and there's all the different traditions, and that's why I like college better than pro.
Yep.
You know, you haven't lived until you've been to an SEC game and seen how all the fraternity boys and sorority girls actually get dressed up to go to the football game.
I have a friend of mine who went to Ole Miss, and he told me Ole Miss, it's super, and you can I don't know because I'm not
it's,
Ben.
For the guys, it's pressed chinos.
Yes.
Either Weegians or Docksiders without socks, a white mm-hmm. dress shirt, a respectable tie, and a blue blazer.
I was just thinking that. And you know what my friend also told me? He told me, and again, I don't have any idea if it's right. He said the drugs and the booze just are like...
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. On the other hand, at WVU... well, we tended to show up in the student section in things like bathrobes and pajamas because we knew we'd be going to sleep shortly after the game.
I'm for that as opposed to
because we'd been
nice.
You know we'd been up tailgating in the blue lot since about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I remember it well because I was the brother with the pickup truck that hauled all the kegs, and so we had a parking space that was, you know, 100 yards from the gate.
Oh, man.
That shit does not happen anymore. And I don't know where the student section is now, but back in the day, get off my lawn. Back in the day, the student section was on the 40-yard line. And you got into every game just by virtue of your activities fee for the year.
Uh-huh.
Just show your ID and march right in.
40-yard line? Because now it's usually in one of the end zones.
Yeah, no, 40-yard line. And you know, the athletic department hated it. It's like, those are valuable seats. And like, yeah, they are, and so are our students. And we made it a very, very noisy place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there to see the two games that Doug Flutie came down and played the Mountaineers in. Doug Flutie, for as great as he was, never beat the Mountaineers. Never. In 4 years.
Yeah. Well, he was only like, what, 3.5 feet tall?
Yeah, but I've even got somewhere, I think I've still got photos that I took. I took my camera in and just shot, I had a long zoom lens, and I've got pictures of Flutie being chased to the ground by great big lumbering, hulking Mountaineer linemen.
Yeah, I would love to. Man, you know what?
Oh, and that's why I was saying you'd love a Mountaineer game. I mean, the atmosphere is fantastic, and the thing, the Mountaineer fans, you know, I've said for years, God made WVU to train the faithful, because I have seen, you know the speech that Rutger Hauer gives at the end of Blade Runner. I've seen us attack ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion, blah, blah, blah. I have seen a Mountaineer head coach blow a 28-point lead in 15 minutes.
Wow.
I saw West Virginia University against hated Pitt And they're still, and we don't even play them in football anymore.
Mm-hmm.
One of the oldest rivalries in college football. And to this day, somebody else, if you're at a wedding or a gathering of a bunch of Mountaineers, somebody will play Sweet Caroline. And when it gets to the da-da-da part, everybody will scream, "Eat shit pit."
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because that rivalry goes back so far. You know, both campuses sit on the banks of the Monongahela River.
Mm-hmm.
And the Monongahela, and Rico is, I won't say it because I love Rico too much. But in the earliest days of the rivalry, the teams would get on a steamboat.
I was just going to say, there's got to be some sort of boat connection here.
And they would go up the hill, play the game, and run like hell, and get back on the boat and go home. And I've even heard that the tradition of tearing down the goalposts began there. But now, it's like, no, dumbass, you don't tear your own fucking goalpost down. You go and you tear their goalpost down if you win on their field.
On their field.
And that's what they, and Pitt would tear our goalposts down routinely because, you know, little West Virginia, great big pit. But it's all, I mean, it's just a delight. And, you know, I saw Don Nealon decide to punt from his own end zone when we were up on, you know, Miami, when Miami was a force to be reckoned with. All he had to do was snap it out of the end zone, take the safety, kick off from the 20-yard line.
It was like kick off from the 20-yard line.
And hold for like 15 fucking seconds. No. No. Instead, Miami rushed the punter because the punter had a short snap area. Rushed the punter, blocked the punt, landed on the ball in the end zone. Game over. Go home, Mountaineers, and learn to live with failure. And so all my father's life, all my life, we remain the biggest, most successful major college football program never to win a national championship. We had a chance against Florida back in the 90s, and you know, Steve Spurrier took his Gators and sequestered them away somewhere and practiced their little asses off, and said, "Men, you can burn New Orleans to the ground if you want to after this is done. But we got work to do because we want to win this.
We ain't losing to them people."
On the other hand, Don Nealon opened the envelope and went, "Well, gosh darn it, Woody, the check cleared." And said, "Have fun, boys." And the Florida players said they could smell the booze sweating out of the Mountaineers after the first series of downs. And we ran down and scored a touchdown. It's like, shit, that was easy. And then we lost 42-7.
Oh, you know what? I know all about that. I survived the Cooper years, so I know all about that.
And the funny thing was, Don Nealon told jokes about it. I mean, he would talk about going recruiting in southern West Virginia, and he said, I stopped at a gas station one day and fella asked me about the ring on my finger, and remember, he came to us from Ohio. Actually, he was an assistant at that school up north, but he went to Miami. But he said,
which an awful lot of really good coaches did.
Yeah, it's the mothership of college coaching.
Yeah, in football. My dad was a graduate of Miami,
and so he had this big old chunk of a ring on him. And he said, the fella at the gas station says, "What's that?" He said, "Well, it's a national, that's an unbeaten season ring." And the guy at the gas station said, "Well, you keep working for that Nealon motherfucker, you'll never get another one of those." And he would tell, I mean, he told that story on himself. And so, it was so bad. I mean, they were successful. He's the most successful coach West Virginia ever had. But it was so bad that when it was like third and 29, the entire student section would yell one word, "Draw," at the top of our lungs, because everybody knew it was coming. I mean, the opposing coach knew it was coming. The whole opposing team knew it was coming. The student section knew it was coming. Every fan knew it was coming. Woody Nohara and Jack and oh God, I can't remember. What a great broadcast voice. Everybody knew it was coming, but Nealon was sitting down there with his little clipboard going, "It'll work this time.
It'll work this time."
And then it would be 4th and 47.
This is why college football is so good, because no matter what, you can't help but love your team.
Oh yeah, and back in the day, there was a gag about what did Billy Graham and Don Nealon have in common? They were the only two men in West Virginia who could get 70,000 West Virginians to leap to their feet and yell Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's great! That's great. Oh shit!
You gotta go to a Mountaineer game. A little bit more stodgy now. A lot of the fun's been taken out of it.
No. Let me correct you. I don't just gotta go to a Mountaineer game. I gotta go to a Mountaineer game with you.
Yeah. That's the fun part. I mean, the things I've seen. I had a friend who would take his RV there, and he'd just. He'd have four or five 1.75s of Jack Daniels. Not that he was going to drink them. He'd drink some of them, though. And then, you know, they'd stay in the lot and drive home the next morning because RV.
Uh-huh.
But, no, the crowd would be gathered around in the tailgate parking lot, and everybody'd be, you know, everybody's singing Take Me Home, Country Roads. And I remember seeing him. It was Jim Beam, not Jack Daniels. But he unscrewed the cap of that 1.75, looked at the cap and said, "Ain't going to be needing that no more," and tossed it over his shoulder, took a pull, passed it into the crowd, and we never saw the bottle again.
And that's just beautiful. That would never happen. That would never happen in a pro game.
No, I mean, and God forbid. There's degrees of. What you want is a late start night game. Holy cow. Because the Mountaineer faithful will have been tailgating since sunup. I mean, if you lit a match in the middle of the 50-yard line, the whole place would probably explode from the fumes. That's why there's no smoking in Mountaineer Field.
And I'm sorry, but I just think that's beautiful.
Well, it's like a friend of mine who, a Mountaineer, moved out to Nebraska and went to his first Nebraska game. And he said, "Jesus, Robin, if you lit a single match in Nebraska Stadium, the whole place would go up. It's nothing but completely flammable polyester red shirts everywhere."
Well, there's nothing else to do there. That and corn stalks.
Yeah. Well, remember, they started out life as the Nebraska bug eaters, like I said the other night. And we were the snakes.
Yes. I'm looking at the clock. It's time for... It's that time.
Yeah.
I'm glad that Tracy... I was finally able to get the stuff to her so many months later, and she liked it.
I think Jan was particularly fond of the arugula.
Yeah, you know, Tracy, what did Tracy call them? The little chocolate thingies.
Yeah, what the hell are these?
Yes, it's rugelach, which is I think it's a Hungarian Jewish thing is what it really boils down to.
And delicious.
Yes, well, good. Listen, I got your email or text or message today about speaking afterwards. I have to step out for a bit. You want me to give you a ring-a-ding when I get back?
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine.
Yeah, and then we will talk about what we need to talk about, and then I will far up the PayPal or the Venmo.
Okay, that's cool. No worries.
And get what we need to get.
Far it up.
In any event, we will see each other on or hear each other on. Later on tonight, but on the program on the porch tomorrow.
Very good, very good. I think it's going to be a great porch, and we're down to 665. Oh, just $1 away. Yeah, we're down to 665 for the evening. We'll be at 965 tomorrow, so we'll cross our fingers, and I'll be able to pay my health insurance and shit.
Right. That's doable. That has some sort of psychological doableness to it, frankly. But we'll get her done. Get her done. Listen, you take care, and we'll talk shortly, okay?
All right. Take it easy, Steve. Hey, thanks for lightening the mood a little bit. I needed that badly.
Can I just tell you, I don't even honestly, real quick, I don't even know what to think or say anymore.
We're documenting all of this. I mean,
I keep asking a friend of mine who was alive during Vietnam, and I keep saying, was it? And because he always tells me, he says the country was unbelievably divided then, you know, the whole love it or leave it stuff. And I don't know if I can actually believe it was like this.
I think it was different. Based on that theory espoused by Tolstoy and Anna Karenina, you know, all happy families are happy in the same way. But all unhappy families are unhappy differently.
Okay. I think you're right.
Steve, have a good night, my friend.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
All right, later. Bye.
Bye.
And we did. We lightened the mood a little bit after a whole bunch of heavy shit over the course of this Thorn in the Side Thursday. I'm so glad you were around took part in the conversation, even whatever manner you... whatever manner you chose. Oh, I didn't know that. Pecan logs are brought up in a Squidbillies episode, Jack in Shreveport tells me. They named their baseball team the Pecan Logs after ruining the reputation of the first team name. And Jack says, I think I saw Flutie play Texas A&M, maybe. Possible. I don't know. We'll have to check the old schedules. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much. You're why this program continues to exist. And I am so glad and so honored that you find it worth continuing. Thank you. Thanks to, like I said, each and every one of you who participates in the program in whatever manner you so choose. I'm sorry for all the chaos about the podcast, but hey, more in Monday, by God, we'll be back on Podbean. And by the way, I sent in a customer service request and got no answer, except to be billed for my monthly Podbean. But thanks to our all-volunteer staff, thank you very kindly to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, and the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time for you to reach out to your member of Congress and ask him to sign on to H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Get your vaccine if you haven't already. If you've already gotten your vaccine, encourage someone who hasn't to get theirs, please. It's so important. Use all your frontline defenses, just like Paul from Parts Unknown has told us. You know, wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer liberally. Take it everywhere you go, purse or pocket. Wear gloves as you deem necessary to keep from touching potentially contaminated surfaces. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet now. Wear your mask anytime you're indoors, stores, whatever. It's your best chance. And of course, if somebody happens to come toward you blathering about, they won't let us see the political prisoners. Well, avoid that person like the plague. Those people like the plague. you know, because they are. Later.